Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 312, recorded July 31st, 2011. Bangs versus Beards. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. Providing tech support in person is expensive and time-consuming. Save time, money, and look like a hero to clients and colleagues with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/TWiT. And by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, visit Carbonite.com. And don't forget to use the offer code TWIT. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing service that gets you paid quickly and makes you look more professional. Get started with a free package at FreshBooks.com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers all your technology needs each and every week. And this is going to be a fun TWiT. We're back in the brick TWiT house, which makes sense. I mean, it wouldn't build this thing for $1 million and leave after a week. And we have a great team here. Again, all in studio with us, which I really like. It's fun. And I kind of mockingly call this the couples TWiT, because it is. It's two couples. You don't mind me calling you a couple, do you?
Well, it's not a secret.
Sarah Lane, the host of The Social Hour, iPad Today, TNT, my old friend from Tech TV.
Hi, Leo.
It's good to see you.
I'm very rarely here on a Sunday. It's kind of fun.
It's a little quieter.
Yeah.
And yet there's much larger studio audience.
Yeah.
It's
hey, everybody.
Yeah. Also joining us, her beau. Can I call you a beau?
We've done promise rings, so yeah.
Have you really?
Where's my promise ring?
No, he was talking about MG and I have done promise rings. MG Siegler, my beau, is here. Oh, of course, the best writer on TechCrunch.com. Don't tell Mike I said that.
I won't.
And Paris Lemon on Twitter. Good to have you both. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Is this your first time on Twitter? No, you've been on Twitter.
I've been on Twitter before, but not in a while. So.
Yeah, not since Austin, probably.
It feels like the first time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's when it was.
And then to my right, we have yet another couple, the great Veronica Belmont from TechZilla.com, who's been on Twitter many a time.
Hello.
About.me/Veronica. Also the host of Sword and Laser with Tom Merritt.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful show about sci-fi and fantasy books.
Yeah, we actually just saw George R. R. Martin down at the Fox Theater in Redwood City.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get his autograph?
He was doing a book signing.
The author of Game of Thrones, yeah. Clash of Kings. I'm just starting Clash of Kings, so I'll be ready for the next season.
Good.
I love those books. They're
great. It's fantastic.
Sitting next to her, her longtime companion. Right.
Couples TWiT, nice. Most awkward TWiT ever.
I feel like Bob Eubank.
I think we need to. No, look, this is not the couples. This is not couples TWiT. This is Beards versus Bangs.
Beards versus Bangs.
Right.
That's
what we're doing.
Right. Look at that. Wow, that's absolutely
true.
You're on. Ryan Black from GadgetGGGT.com, and of course at Ryan.
Beards versus Bangs.
It is. It's good.
Awesome.
It's Beards versus Bangs.
Leo, you have neither.
In an all-time battle of the sexes.
You ref it.
You're Switzerland.
Gags and laughs. I'm Switzerland.
Yeah.
I'm neutral. I'm all alone in the middle. Top story today. It's actually the game of the week, the game du jour among tech writers.
Yes.
Who has more money than the United States?
It's a quickly growing list. So it's not too hard to find.
I didn't realize this, but you told me that Bill Gates is now on the list. It started with Apple Computer.
Right.
Apple has $76 billion in the bank. The U.S. has, we don't know what, not much left. They're running out.
The 73. Now
that
it's significantly
week.
Less. Yeah, right. That's the amount of money they have left to spend before they hit the default ceiling. So
it's a silly, no, I mean, it's apples and oranges, as you said.
Yeah, of course, but
it's still great. Now Bill Gates is worth more than the U.S.
Yes, there are things that these guys can buy now that the U.S. government cannot.
That's pretty funny. But it's not like they could bail them out.
No.
It wouldn't go very far.
Well, we're also only talking about buying a cash. We're not talking about lending power.
Right.
Yep. Stupid question. But with this esteemed panel, somebody would know. Is there still gold in Fort Knox? Remember James Bond? They came and they in Goldfinger and they went. They got all the gold out of Fort. Is there still gold
in
Fort Knox?
I think there is, but I think it's mainly for tourists, like to see.
Yeah, there's also a lot of gold in the New York Federal Reserve as
right.
well. But
did
it's
you
not,
see
we're,
Die
we're
Hard
not, not,
with a Vengeance? That's
I haven't actually, but
well,
I'll make sure
I've been
to
pawning my gold off for years.
Have you? You gold
you
for
sell
cash?
Gold. Yeah, gold for cash.
You don't really recommend gold for cash, do you?
No, I don't.
Please don't.
Not at
all. It's such a ripoff.
Really good rates.
I know. I don't see the issue here.
Why wouldn't you want
to
get
Hammer
money?
Endorsed? What could possibly
be right?
So we're not tied to a gold standard anymore. So we no longer have to keep in vaults the amount of gold that you know represents.
No, when the U.S. government wants more money, it just prints it.
Prints it.
And when Apple wants more money, it effectively just prints it by releasing a new iPhone.
Right. Practically, that's like printing
basically
it.
The same
that
thing.
It is like printing.
That's a gold brick.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. What does a company like Apple do if they have $76 billion? Is it in Steve Jobs' closet? Do they have it in the bank and certificates of deposit?
Right.
What do they do?
It's not just cash. It's cash and cash equivalents. They have investments in certain things. But, you know, everyone's talking about which company are they going to buy. They're not going to make any super large acquisition anytime soon. They just don't do that. Use it as leverage, and they use it to secure a lot of the component deals that they need to get in order to continue to pump out iPads better than
it's
Android
not a rainy day fund. They're not like saying, oh, what happens if we run out of money? We got some in the bank.
Right.
No. Yeah, at a certain level, they make so much money they can't really spend it the way they only spend in certain ways. They're not going to go on a huge
time.
They're not
going to
triple their staff.
We know Apple has
why?
Apple's worth more
buy?
Than the entire music industry could buy. They could buy the music industry.
Well, who wants to run that business?
Right.
That's a horrible business.
Money.
That would be a mistake, wouldn't it?
Man.
They are building that huge new headquarters, so they're going to use
the spaceship.
That, the spaceship.
But that's not $76 billion. That might be $10 billion or $12 billion.
And the Apple
I don't even
stores.
Think that much.
The what?
Maybe they'll open new stores. The
they're
next
doing that.
Generation of stores.
God knows they're doing that. Apple now officially is the world's largest... Now, underscore the word world. The world's largest smartphone vendor. For a long time, they've dominated in the U.S., but never did that well worldwide. Nokia was always the biggest. Nokia is now, according to IDC... second place.
Which has more to do with Nokia's falling than Apple.
It's a little bit of think the reality is this actually happened a long time ago. We just didn't see it because it really depends on how you count it. Nokia is long known for having inflated numbers because they consider a smartphone anything that runs Symbian. So they have these really cheap, crappy phones that technically run Symbian, like Symbian Series 3 or Series 30 or whatever it's called now. And they're not really smartphones. I mean, no one in the U.S. would ever mistake it for what we think of as a smartphone.
Hell, I bought an N8, and that's even not much of a smartphone.
Yeah, so, the phones that they sell, they're not making them any money. They've always had these inflated smartphone numbers. They've just been slowly.
But get this. Okay, collapsing. So just to. Okay, I'm going to hide this graph. It's too late. You already saw it.
Yeah, won't look.
Ryan's cheating. Who's number three? We got Apple, number one, Nokia, number two. Who's the number three smartphone manufacturer worldwide?
I already know this because we talked about it on TNT, so I just won't.
Go ahead.
I won't say.
Well, that means Veronica's the only one who doesn't know.
I'm looking at the graph.
I'm not looking at the graph. I'm going to go with Samsung.
The graph is already open.
If this were the newlywed game,
Samsung has been pretty big for me.
All be disqualified for cheating. Samsung.
No, me. I just nailed it.
You knew it. You just knew it. You're right. 48.9% Apple. No, I'm sorry, other.
Right. Other's the big one.
Other's the big one.
Yeah.
18.5% Apple, 17.5% Samsung. Actually, Nokia's number three. I'm sorry. Nokia's number three with 15%.
Right after other. And other, you have to assume, is a lot of the other Android.
A bunch of Androids.
Who are all just...
Like a million Android phones.
Yeah.
And HP.
Will putting Windows Phone 7 on Nokia handsets, Ryan, save Nokia?
I don't think there's no silver bullet, right?
Well, the analyst said that Nokia would be number one in a couple of years because of Windows Phone.
Mm. No, I think that their problems are more institutional. It's less to do with what's running on the phones. I mean, yeah, they have problems there, but I think it's more cultural and institutional. They have a real leadership problem at the top. Same thing with RIM. They really need to clean house.
RIM's in trouble, too. We'll see this. Actually, Tom's going to talk about this in a second, but... BlackBerry has a big event in Canada, a user group meeting. It might be the first time we see BlackBerry 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all really excited about
it. I can see everybody's jumping up and down. Not enough to save them.
Yeah, it's called like BlackBerry Night or something in Toronto.
Whoa,
it's
sounds like
party.
They're giving away BlackBerry 7.
Well, they're up
phones,
there. They're up there in Ontario, so that makes sense.
I've said it on Twit before. I had pretty high hopes for the Microsoft Nokia deal, so I'm still keeping my.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm still keeping my hopes up for that
iPhone
because I like Windows Phone.
Are you
7.
An iPhone user?
I am.
iPhone user,
yes.
Ryan. iPhone user.
Yeah.
iPhone user. I'm the only Android at the thing, and there's no BlackBerry, and there's no.
The thing is, though, is that
I have a Windows Phone 7, and I like it.
No, I've used them before.
Everyone
yeah, well, a lot
has,
of people like
Windows.
Yeah, everybody likes Windows Phone 7.
There just
I
aren't
like
enough
it.
Of them.
But nobody
there's,
uses
there's, and there's no ecosystem still, so it's just it's not feasible for a lot of people to buy.
I don't know. I mean, is it possible that it's just going to catch like wildfire in the European market? I don't know. I mean,
I think that's the hope is that all those Symbian System 30 users,
and they'll all just
will buy Windows,
turn
phones.
To Windows Phone 7.
But you know, in this time between them getting to Windows Phone 7 and the last couple of years that Apple's been making these huge gains in Europe, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any going back. On the low end, you've got Android, and on the high end, you've got Apple.
The chat room's saying, Android, why, Leo? Why? What's wrong with you? I love Android.
What chat room?
You would think the chat room would
be
more angry about all of us using iPhones than you using
Android. That's
all
I ever hear about.
Chat room's highly unpredictable area.
Chat room, you never know. You never know which way the chat room's going to go.
Not only am I...
There we go. Android rocks.
Not only am I using an Android phone, but ladies and gentlemen, look what's on my computer right now. It's Windows 7, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want you to know I am a maverick.
Okay, now Leo, go to the next space over.
Right. Oh, you mean the rest of it, the Apple stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I am actually, that's a MacBook Air, but nice. I cleverly hide it so nobody will know. Otherwise, it would be five Apples on this table.
I know, it's a little silly.
Is there bias, do you think, in the Twit panel? Question two, bias in the Twit panel. Sarah Lane.
Well, I mean, I do a show about iOS, so obviously I spend a lot of time caring about Apple's ecosystem for part of my job. So yeah, I mean, I spend more time on certain OSs than I do on others, but I like to be on top news-wise of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also part of the job.
Heyo.
How are you?
What's going on?
Anybody screenshot that?
We got a beard. We got a guy joining the beard team.
Yeah, no.
A little jealous.
Sorry, I was getting my iPad.
Stay back.
It was under the table. Right next to MG's
leg.
That's
what they call it these days.
Whoa.
I find I don't use this very much anymore.
Well,
really?
It's funny because you say that on all of the Twit shows except iPad Today.
Well, I can't admit it on the
And people email me and say, do you know what Leo said on Windows Weekly?
I hardly
this
ever
week?
Use it anymore.
Well,
I'm playing
I don't
words
know
with,
what your problem is.
I'm playing Words with Friends with my mom, and then she said, why... How come I keep buying stuff from you on Wii Rule and you never get back to me on it?
I use my iPad a lot because I travel a lot. And it's
is it a good travel device for you?
Great travel tool.
Yeah. And I've done a lot of tablet comparisons, like with the Thrive and with.
Oh, it's so much better than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
easier to use.
I mean, the speed and the ease of use factor just really makes it a really good travel device. So that's what I use it for.
Do anybody use a tablet that they like better than the iPad?
No,
I think it's tablets that don't do it for me. I mean, I have the 10.1.
Yeah, I've got the Galaxy Tab 10, 7. I've got the
you have
Thrive.
The what do you
I've
think
got,
of that? Is that a nice?
I mean,
the OS is just
like
screwed up on those things.
You know?
We had a TechCrunch event on Friday, and we had Duarte.
He did a mobile event, right?
Yeah. And so he took a lot of flack. It felt a little bit bad for him because for whatever reason, like the audience was mainly pro iPhone and iOS, and it's just like I think at one point someone asked him on stage, like, why does iOS look so much better than Android? And he's the guy in charge of that, and he's just he had the funny quote like, why are Sicilians more handsome than other gentlemen?
He just is. Right. Because of the fine Corinthian
say, in fairness, I don't know if this came up because I didn't make it down, mm-hmm. but the stuff that he's been working on
is
won't
a little
be
bit different. Yeah, right.
What you see now is not.
Yeah, he's the former WebOS guy.
Right, and before that he did Helio, and before that he did Danger. So he's like pretty well respected in the mobile interface
Danger
community.
Danger was great.
Yeah,
WebOS I thought was great. So
it's great.
So he's working on what? iOS 5?
Android.
No,
oh,
no,
Android.
Yeah. He's like the lead visual designer on Android.
So he's going to try to make it better.
Yeah, I think his first fingerprints will be the ice cream sandwich stuff, right?
Just a little tip.
His first major ones.
Rounded corners. I think that makes everything better.
Well, I think the biggest problem with Android is just that there isn't any consistency. There's no user interface guidelines. There's no,
you know, it doesn't bother me. I like Android.
Well, you mean like the fragmentation of the
maybe I have no taste.
Android.
I hear this all the time from you iPhone people. I think Android looks good.
I think it looks good too, but you do get all that fragmentation over the different flavors, and you know every device that comes out has their own kind of spin on it, and so there's not really that cohesiveness that iOS has.
But you have more choice. So if you want a sensation, you get a sensation. If you want a Galaxy, you get a Galaxy. I mean, you have choices.
Well, I'll even admit one of my biggest problems with using Android tablets is that I am so accustomed to iOS that I expect things to work in a certain way, and that's my own fault. That's no downside on Android. That's just my experience.
I will grant you that in the tablet world, iPad's got it all over Android.
But that's the problem with Android in general, is that you want things to work a certain way, mm-hmm. and if the Android experience works in a variety of different ways,
then you get that problem there.
Sure,
as well.
You've got choice, and there's that whole open argument. But it's as far as creatures of habit go, we want things to work the way that they worked yesterday.
Well, and a lot of developers obviously started out with iOS because it was, you know, popular before Android was, and so a lot of them now try and take their applications and port that over to Android, and it's just not easy to do. Anyone you talk to will tell you it's not easy to do, especially because it's just like there's all these different screen resolutions, all these different screen sizes that you have to try and make, you know, pixel perfect designs, which you can do on iOS and you can't do that on Android.
Yeah, and Instagram guys still don't have an Android app.
Right.
Google doesn't do anything to help with that either.
Right, sure.
Like they don't officially recognize that as being a problem.
Right.
Which is a big problem, right? Like they need to understand that, like, yes, people need a little bit of help kind of unifying all this stuff and making a great, consistent user experience. There are a thousand things that are wrong that you could, you know, complain about with Apple's ecosystem, but that's not one of them. Very consistent, very good user experience.
And the trains ran on time in Mussolini's Italy. But I think if you have the
handsome Sicilian gentlemen.
And they were all good looking. but I think that if you give me a choice between consistent design and a back button, I'll take the back button every freaking time.
Really? I hate that.
You don't like the back button? I hate
all those buttons. Like, You just go backwards.
I just want more
screen real estate. Like, I care about is the touch.
So the Retina display. All right, well, we got a new iPhone 4S, 5, something coming out September, right? What do you guys hear?
Yes.
September, early?
There's going to be one this year. There's a new one every year.
Probably September.
It's not going to be later than the holiday season.
Right. And it will be iOS 5, right? Right. So when iOS 5 comes out, you'll get the new phone, right?
Yep. Right.
So is that going to how is that going to be different? What are the rumors on this? You're not going to get better than a Retina display.
The only thing for sure is that it will have a better camera. I mean, that's not for sure, but it will.
8 megapixel camera, everybody seems to agree.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I've had 8 megapixel for a long time.
Well,
in fact,
you already know how awesome it is.
My Nokia N8 has a 12 megapixel camera with a Zeiss lens. It's still a crappy phone.
We were actually kind of going back and forth about this last night because I was like,
I think
ooh,
5
8 megapixel, that's awesome. And MG's like, well, how often do you blow something up and frame it? I mean, for the most part, this is all stuff that sounds good on paper, but no one's really going to have much of a different experience.
I know that this is not everybody, but for me, I haven't had need for more than like just...
I think
megapixels.
Five. Right. Two.
I just want
two?
A high quality
five.
Image.
Right.
No, but like I don't print it. I don't do any. You know,
well,
I
that's
just
what
share
I mean
it online.
Is that
why,
the
do,
iPhone,
why do you need like you know 4,000 pixels horizontal?
The iPhone looks.
What
good.
Does that do for you?
It's not about the megapixels on the iPhone. It's just good quality.
That's
right?
what I'm saying.
Right.
You want a better quality image. The resolution at a certain
lens.
Point is diminishing returns unless you're actually planning on printing it.
I agree, and that's why 8 megapixels on the iPhone 5 or 4S doesn't knock me out.
Yeah.
Will it have 4G?
Oh,
I don't think so. I don't know.
No, that's what's interesting. I don't think it will either.
Yeah.
No.
I just don't think Apple will go for that yet. I mean, you know, all the devices that are out there right now, they talk about the battery life taking a major ding. And everyone I know who has one, you know, the Evo and the other ones out there, they just talk about how they disabled 4G most of the time because it's just not worth it.
Yeah. It's also about consistency of experience. They want to be able to sell you a phone that you will get that speed on everywhere.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
that's just not there yet. So it'll probably be chipsets get a little bit less costly. A little bit more power efficient, network gets a little bit better, and then they release one LTE phone for both Verizon and
right.
That's kind of interesting. There's an example where, if you ask me, consistency could bite you because yeah, in order to be consistent, we have to wait till everybody's got it. And that makes it better for, you know, less sophisticated users. But it, I like it to
yeah,
be able
to
buy a
4G
phone.
This is the same thing that people were saying with the original iPhone. And that yeah, you know, Apple wasn't
even 3G.
Late to the market.
It was
with,
Edge.
Yeah, right. But then, you know, everyone was saying they were so late to the market with the iPhone 3G. Right. And guess what? Who cares? They still killed it.
Yep,
so
yep.
I'm just excited for iOS 5 to be out and stable and ready to go.
What do you like about it?
I like a lot about it, actually. I really like the drop down. And I really like
what's
just
that,
a lot
Tom?
Of
the oh,
notifications.
Notifications.
Slide down notifications.
Yeah, we've had that for a while.
There's a lot of fun stuff in there, like editing, being able to edit. I know.
Yeah,
I know,
we've had that for a while.
But done right. But done right. This time.
Oh,
oh, snap!
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's less about the hardware for me and more about the software integrating. What are you still laughing at?
I'm just teasing.
What else do you like? The voice of the Android generation.
I know. It's,
we
it,
were
I'm
first.
Some old fart with an Android.
Yeah.
I don't pay
I keep
no
finding little things that I enjoy, like being able to crop and do more editing within the photos themselves. Yeah. I wish there was more like metadata editing on that point.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Yeah.
They also have the really nice feature where you just double tap and you can launch right into the camera.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
so many times I
I've
take out my
that
phone
that works
to try and
faster for loading the camera than going through the menu system and
yes.
that the camera.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know
Microsoft
why.
Windows Phone 7.
That yeah, they had the first. Shutter button thing, which, yeah, which yeah, Apple's yeah. also doing with the thing. Yeah, and that was good, except that it was like so wonky on, I forget which device I had, one of the
Focus?
It might have been the Focus. And when you click the little shutter button, it would be shaky every single time. Like
right,
they didn't
yeah.
account for
it. Because
it
was too fast.
Yeah.
I think the same thing is actually true of iOS 5.
Does
so
that
far,
happen?
Yeah, you
weird
get a little
HDR
bit of blur
issues?
On the shutter.
Like, I know it takes, like, you know, the three shots side by side, but they've been split a lot.
Weird.
So I get these images where I have very
it's still a beta.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that's a great idea to be able to take three shots and then pick the best, I think is a very clever.
It doesn't do the three up.
Well, that's what
HDR
is.
Yeah, the HDR is actually combines it takes
on either side.
Yeah, exactly. It takes the photo three times
right.
at you know, varying ISOs, so to speak, exposure levels.
It's like that.
Combines
that. What is that? That Lytro camera? What is the name of that? Mm. That's a clever idea. We'll talk about that when it comes out. I think Trey Ratcliffe's getting one of those next month.
Lucky.
We'll bring it. Well, he'll bring
speaking
it
of HDR,
he'll bring
take
that
some
by.
Great HDR pictures.
Oh, amazing. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Airbnb rental that went so very bad. I think it's actually Veronica, EJ. I think it's, she's that's Veronica.
Yeah, you must be really
it's
upset.
Some anonymous
know,
woman
I'm
in San Francisco.
It,
I think it's Veronica. That's my guess. Some blogger in San Francisco. She works in the tech industry in her 30s. I think, oh, she's too young.
Might
Sarah.
Be me.
Shoot.
And I know you use Airbnb a lot, actually.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't rent. You only,
yeah, I don't want anybody in my house.
Now. You're the guy ransacking other people's apartments.
Yes.
Right.
Not the other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leaving meth.
By the way, meth
everywhere.
Was a 19-year-old meth addict.
For a meth lab.
Oh, they did? All right, well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Stay tuned. Boy, that was a good tease, though.
Wasn't it?
I'd watch.
Meth lab.
I'd stay tuned. I'd listen through this next commercial. And I hope you will, too. You know, if you provide tech support, you know that going to a person's home or office is a pain in the freaking ass. Did I say that? I'm just a little bitter. You know, we all do it for family and friends. There's that great, I love it, that viral video of John Mayer. Mayer? How do you say that?
Mayer.
Your body is a wonderland? Mayer?
John Mayer.
On the street outside of Carnegie Hall in New York City going, no, Dad, no. Click the start. Yeah, no, Dad, you can do this. You can do this. Click the start. It's so funny. We've all done it. Let me tell you, if you're in support, you don't have time to get on the phone and talk your clients and colleagues through it. That's why GoToAssist Express from Citrix is such a great solution. It lets you get in there and fix it yourself. It's very easy for you, but more important maybe, very easy for your supportees. You don't want to have to be supporting the support tool. All you do is you send them a link. They click it. It's Java. So they press, they have to get the little certificate. It says allow, and boom, you're in. You're fixing the computer. You can do 8 sessions at once. So you can start a scan on one and install on another, move to the next. Makes you much more efficient. You can see what operating system are running. That's important, by the way, not only because you can see what version of Windows, but it also supports the Mac. So it's cross-platform. You can see what security software they're running. It's so efficient that GoToAssist Express users were surveyed, and they said on average a 40% increase in their productivity. It's like getting 2 more work days a week. Whether you're in customer support, technical consulting, management, a software support guy, computer guru, like this panel here, go to Assist Express. It'll help you increase revenue, reduce travel time, reduce support time, service more clients. And isn't that what we're all about? Servicing more clients. Go to try it right now. I thought I'd get a laugh on that. A chuckle. That's okay. I'll take it. Go right now to...
I laughed on the inside.
Coombsis.com/twit. Please, do it for me. So, I don't know why they got so much attention on this Airbnb story.
Oh, it's, well, it's because it's a horrific story.
It's everyone's worst nightmare.
Not only is it horrific, but they just finished like a big round
of
funding.
Right, they just raised their
money. So what happened?
So what happened is that this woman went away.
EJ is her pseudonym.
Yes. And people doubted her existence, but she's since made an updated post on her blog.
There was some thought maybe she was working in the hotel industry and might have had an axe to grind.
Yeah, sometimes the simplest explanation.
This story was too specific.
Yeah. Okay. So she left and rented out her
apartment
in San Francisco. And she had very limited communication with the people that had decided to rent it through Airbnb.
Mistake number one.
Yes. That's not her fault.
She went through Airbnb.
They limit the amount of contact you can have with the renters until after the whole transaction has gone through. So then at that point, you can do email addresses or phone calls, that kind of thing.
So you have to accept them before you even
That's how they work. It's a privacy thing. They do no kind of vetting. They do no kind of background search of any kind.
So a bad guy could go to Airbnb.com and say, let me see what the nicest place in San Francisco is and rent it.
Exactly. Yes. They take no... it's not in their terms of service to take any kind of responsibility for anything that happens. And that is down in their TOS.
That's a flaw, by the way.
Well, the hope is that they have enough users and that they all grade each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's a flaw for the chicken and egg problem.
Oh, so it's kind of like eBay. You can look at the person who might rent your place and see what their rating is?
Yeah.
You can also look at somebody who's renting a place to see if they get back to people regularly.
Yeah.
Were they, you know, was the key easy to find? That sort of thing.
People so 94% people recommend this rentier renter.
Okay. It's a little different though than eBay, because with eBay, when you have a high value thing that you're selling and you get a first time buyer, somebody who's not good on eBay, they don't have the reputation already, you go through escrow. Right? Like they put the money in escrow, you send them the thing, the escrow releases, and everybody's happy. Right? So there are protection mechanisms that way. But there's no protection mechanism when it comes to, you know, the object in question is a residence and everything in it.
Well, to make a long story short, though, her apartment was trashed. I mean, beyond recognition.
They stole stuff. They broke down a door and got in.
They did weird stuff. Like they took tags out of her clothes just to like. They're not going to get anything out of that just to scare her. Pretty much.
Yeah, it was very weird.
While they were messing with her like that. Oh, you know, we're having a great time here.
Yeah, sending her really polite emails back and forth, being like, "Oh, there's so much light in your living room. It's beautiful. We're really enjoying our time here."
Well, there was until we broke all the windows.
Yeah. And so she came back and she has no recourse through Airbnb, basically.
Because it's in their terms of service.
Right. And so she dealt with the SFPD a little bit. But then Airbnb released a statement saying, you know, we're really sorry this happened. We've been working with this person very closely to try to figure out how we can help her, you know, get the person in custody, figure out how we can make her feel safe and secure. But she later came back and said that after June 30th, all her communication with the customer representatives at Airbnb stopped after she posted her first blog post.
That date is significant because it was after the blog post but before their funding round.
I guess so. Was it? Really?
I think so,
This was about a month ago.
So this was the theories that, well, we want to shut this thing up because we got a funding round.
And I guess one of the co-founders actually called her and talked to her a little bit and was like, we'd really like you to take down this blog post. Mm-hmm. We'd really like you to censor this. They didn't say censor, but, you know, put it behind
a
wall.
Favor.
Yeah, secure it. Yeah. Lock it down. And she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And that's kind of how it's he said, she said now between Airbnb and this person, this anonymous, quasi-anonymous person. She obviously doesn't want her real name out there because she doesn't want any kind of, you know, more privacy invasion than she's already going through. But they say they had a suspect in custody, yet she hasn't heard that from the SFPD either. So on her end, everything is still as it was a month ago.
Yeah, Airbnb pretty much said there's somebody in custody, but because it's an ongoing investigation,
we can't tell you
anymore about it, even though this is her home.
Yeah.
And these were people that were in her home.
Isn't there also like this whole sideshow with the situation with TechCrunch too? And like,
yes.
Exactly, as always.
Mike got involved a little bit.
Right. Well, yeah, because, you know.
There was some name calling.
Well.
Not that anybody would call Mike a name.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too into this, but as I understand it, and I haven't really even followed it that closely. Like, there was stuff that happened yesterday with Paul Graham of Y Combinator, who is
the funder,
is one of the original backers of Airbnb.
And by the way, a huge supporter of Airbnb. Yep. Paul's been going around saying this is the next big thing. This is going to be bigger than eBay.
Right.
It disrupts hotel. Hotel chains.
Boy, I'm starting to hate that word.
Yeah, well, it changes business. No, I know what you mean. But nice plug. Well done.
It's just a
it's another he said she said thing. I mean, it's just now like I guess Paul Graham wasn't so sure of the validity of what Mike said the people from Airbnb had told him. And he's saying, absolutely, that's what they told me. And, you know, we went back and forth even. And so, you know, now it's a whole other thing. He just wrote another post that I'm looking at right now. Airbnb victim tells his story.
Ooh.
There were meth pipes everywhere.
What?
This is a separate person.
What is going on with these meth people on Airbnb?
Well, think about it. It's the perfect, like, ruse. You can rent a place for a short amount of time, basically do whatever you want, and they can't track you.
Yeah.
So instead of having your regular meth house, you can kind of spread your, I don't know.
Right. It's not like you have to look somebody in the eye at the hotel.
Works right.
Before you go into the room.
So Airbnb is one of the reasons it's a tech story. Is they're really a darling of the startup world. They just raised $112 million.
Over $1 billion valuation.
We have used Airbnb as renters successfully.
I was impressed. You went to Paris last December. You got a much better place in the across the street from the very expensive hotel I was paying for. You got a much better
apartment. It was like $100 a night.
I was paying $400 a night.
It's amazing.
And I've been looking into it for a trip that I'm taking with some of my girlfriends in the winter, like out of the country. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I've been like, oh, Airbnb, this will be perfect. We can rent a little cottage. We can have a great time, not have to deal with the hotels. And now I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, even though I'm the one who's doing the renting, I still feel
I think it'd be okay to be a renter.
Well, hey, crazy is all over the place, right? I mean, somebody who's
I guess
out
really
to screw you can be renting something out as well, and maybe you get to Costa Rica and you can't get in.
That would be
the house
bad.
Doesn't exist, or
that would be
like
bad.
That.
Yeah. But that happens to anybody on a home exchange. That can happen anytime.
I feel like this is, you know, it looks very bad for Airbnb right now, but I think that, you know, this will pass eventually. It's very much a chicken and egg problem where it's just like they have so many first-time users of this service, and
but
it's
the
just
ratings aren't
their rating thing, and they've already talked about things that they're going to change. They're going to offer insurance now. They're going to have other things.
Well, and also, like Craigslist, for example, one of the points that EJ made in her post was that if I did this on Craigslist, I would be reminded time and time again that this is on my own.
Yeah, you know, watch for fraud.
This is me. Watch for fraud. Do this on your own. You know, we take no responsibility for what happens.
Right.
She felt like she wasn't sufficiently warned through Airbnb. Which
it's also slightly different, too, because Craigslist is kind of like a standard for classifieds, whereas Airbnb is actually a marketplace. And the marketplace aspect, the exchanging of money, the reputation system, that creates different expectations.
That's
and
true.
Yeah, Airbnb absolutely needs to step up here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I think that plays into this a little bit is, for example, the place that we rented last December in Paris, it worked out really well for us.
No kidding.
We were there for just a few days and everything was fine. We never met the person that rented it out, but we had the key was where he said it would be, and it was fine. It was also pretty obvious that he didn't live there. It was some sort of a sublet situation, and I've spent a lot of time trolling Airbnb because I do ooh, let's go to Berlin and what are my options there, that kind of thing. So I've looked at a lot of apartments, and you can kind of tell that a good amount of them are not actually lived in by anybody. It's some sort of extra, maybe it's something that somebody owns and they're trying to get, you know, pay their mortgage on.
And there are legal situations around that in the United States.
That too. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of landlords are really scared of Airbnb because they don't want people subletting, because it's usually not a kosher thing to do. But I think that Airbnb is, they're well aware that for a large amount of people are not actually renting out places where they live and their coffee's in the cabinet and their underwear's in the dresser.
Well, that's typical of a vacation rental in general.
It is, but the problem is that some people are. I mean, this was actually someone's home where she had all of her personal belongings.
And apparently didn't secure them very well.
No.
Is it kind of like a Zipcar or these, I mean, right now, Zipcar
it's more
works
like the get-around thing than
Zipcar. I'm just saying,
Zipcar.
Because Zipcar is so small, and it's used by a small group of hipsters.
No one owns the cars, you know, except Zipcar.
But I'm saying it works right now because it's a small group of kind of tight hipsters, and so it's okay.
What does that even mean?
It's like, okay, follow me here. It's like Google. Yeah, you're hipsters.
There's some beatniks using it.
Zipcar has background traffic.
It's used by people with bangs and beards. Okay, I'll be honest. No, but I mean, it's kind of like a Google Plus. It's used by a small group of kind of have a certain socioeconomic level. As soon as it becomes public, I wonder if Airbnb's model sustains, in other words. Just in the same way, I was wondering if Zipcar's model sustains as soon as the, you know...
I really think it does. I mean, I think that if they get big enough, you know, if they keep growing, what we've seen now...
The ratings help.
Yes, the ratings help. They'll have other ideas that they're already trying to implement. They had a thing that's actually pretty smart that they did before this. Obviously, it didn't help here, but they have a good Facebook connection where you can tell if, like, there's a second-degree connection that you know someone who's, like, rented
like
this place before.
Type of a thing.
Situation, yeah. I mean, the fundamental issue is, though, you have to just, at you know, the core level, you have to believe that not everyone, you know, someone's not going to be a jackass with your apartment.
Well, that's the problem.
Like, people aren't evil, you know?
But people are evil.
She's also evil.
Because your hipster is living in San Francisco.
Right, we don't think people are evil. Yeah.
She also said... going back through the email correspondence that I had with this person, these people, there was a funny name spelling. Yeah. Things were said that were weird. And, of course, in hindsight, that happens a lot, where you go, gosh, I should have known. I should have trusted my intuition that something was a little off here. So she even says, there was something off. I just wanted to believe it was going to be fine.
I guess the real reason that Airbnb gets these big value, this billion-dollar valuation, is because people think it will compete with Travelocity and travel agents.
And it is.
Essentially compete against hotels.
Yeah.
And in fact, Airbnb really doesn't start taking off until hotels start using it in addition to vacation rentals, right? That's, I think, what the model is. You don't get to $1 billion unless people book all their...
Oh, you mean if hotels start porting their listings
Airbnb,
through here.
Yeah. That's when you become valuable... Because you go there for whatever your needs are.
Because they have openings and they just want to put it in there. Yeah. I mean, that's
I'm sure that's what Paul Graham and the other investors are thinking.
I just don't understand why Airbnb didn't take this really bad situation.
They should have been
as a great opportunity for PR. Yeah. I mean, they could have handled
it big time.
They could have made a big deal out of this and how they were going to help this woman restore her. You know, her not only her ransacked home, but you know her trust in the company. And instead, they did this sort of weaselly, please take your blog post down.
There was
we
a great
money.
Comment on it on one of the sites. It may have even been one of the TechCrunch posts that was like, they could have flipped this around because at the end of the day, when you go the extra step to help a customer like this, they're going to remember it in a really good way. Exactly. And that's what's going to be out there. But if you screw over a customer, they're going to blow that up three times what it originally was and remember that forever.
And because of blogs and social media, that customer has a megaphone.
It becomes amplified.
Right. I mean, how they thought this wouldn't get out there one way or another.
The thing with Airbnb is like the moment you hear the concept of what they do, you're like, oh, crap, you know, I'm going to do this and my place is going to get trashed, right? Like, that's the thing that you kind of, like,
that's why I rent out my place.
You could tell he was
a New
Yorker.
Right, yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
He understands that people are evil.
Yeah. No, you know, it's like, yeah, I might use it, but your initial thing is like, why wouldn't I use it? You know, you kind of think about, like, what are the reasons I'm not going to use something? Instantly, that's what
you
think.
I'm going to break my favorite dish or
something. Yeah, so at some point, this is going to happen, right? Like, it felt to me like this is inevitable. That's why the story was so interesting and big instantly is because it felt so inevitable.
It's like, in fact, I think a lot of people reading the story thinking, what an idiot. Of course this is going to happen. What a surprise, right?
Well, so it's going to happen. So it's like, why were they not better prepared for this?
Right. Well, and Airbnb, clearly, I mean, that is the lesson, handle it badly. They should have done a Discovery Channel home makeover and made a big deal out of it.
Exactly.
They should have
said,
we are going to turn her house into a palace. I think they did in the long run. They rebuilt it, didn't they?
Yeah, but there are these other flip side to that, which is then you're going to get a bunch of sketchy people, you know, renting out their place and then trashing
it.
And then trashing it and then expecting Airbnb to pick up the tax, too. So they're definitely
really careful with your exceptions.
See, he's really cynical. See, that's what I'm saying.
Look, people try to get
inside. Tell me about
let's not try to dance around.
There was also MG's colleague, Paul Carr, wrote up a really interesting article over the weekend about the idea that because of the way this market is for services such as this that are very dependent on ratings and social, and it's a competitive place right now.
Right.
If you're going to be successful and you're going to have a grand exit and you're going to make a lot of money, you have to have a lot of users. And when you start talking about users in the millions, you start thinking about those users less as people and more as data. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you know, this is not an evil company we're talking about. This is just the way that you have to start thinking about your user base, not so much as people, but as
numbers,
statistics.
Right.
And then
like
you get into trouble when you're
situation.
Talking about someone's personal belongings.
Good point. Because it isn't really, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but a good lesson. I mean, I think you would think that lesson to be well learned by anybody in a startup these days is that social media can kill you. Blogs can kill you. Be very aggressive and proactive when something like this happens. Mm-hmm. It costs you a lot less to do that. We're going to take a break. This is like, I feel like we're at a great dinner party, but we just don't have any food or beverages.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
We can fix that up right quick.
Ryan
Bring
Block
out the pig.
From GDGT is here. Well, I've got a surprise for you. We've been roasting a pig all day.
Leo, I'm already ordering pizza right now.
You could,
It's
actually.
Coming in any moment.
Yeah, and I think people know the address, and so I imagine it won't be just you, but thousands of people all over the country. That's what I'm waiting for. What is Twit's Airbnb fiasco going to be? 100 pizzas arriving at the door?
Now you said
sounds
that.
Sounds awesome.
You just said that.
Please
now.
Don't do that. Please, please, please don't do that. Ryan Block is here from GDGT. What do you guys got going on? Any new? You got a redesign. Looks beautiful.
Thank you.
What else is up?
Just working on a whole bunch of new features
Fantastic.
For later this year.
I love it. Great.
Really,
site.
Really, really busy.
So the social of gadgets, gadgeteering. Really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Also, Veronica Belmont from Techzilla. You know, we had Patrick on last week.
I know.
It's kind of, we should someday get both of you on.
Well, we're going to get you out of the cottage sometime.
I've never
down
been.
Down to the Revision 3 studios.
No, I've never been to the Revision 3 studios.
Get
ever.
Out. Really?
Never.
All right.
I didn't, you know, I wanted to do this in a clean room environment. I didn't want Jim Lauterbach to say, you stole everything. So I now I can go. Now I can go.
Jim has been called out.
Also here's Sarah Lane, who has been around the Twit Brick House for a while. Woo. She, of course, one of the founding members of Twit, and it's always good to have Sarah. She's on TNT every weekday, 2:30, or when Leo gets around to it, Pacific time, 5:30 Eastern. They're laughing as if they knew.
Yeah.
It hasn't been my fault this week.
Well, we were in a new studio, yeah, so there were all sorts of technical things to work out.
Yeah.
But in a couple weeks, we'll be back to just Leo running long.
Sarah said a thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't care. It's Tom.
Sarah said a funny thing about iPad today, and I think it's true of this, too. She said it looks the lighting looks too, what did you call it, prime time?
Prime time.
It's like too moody? Like, it looks like CSI Los Angeles? What are you talking about?
Well, when I say prime time, I don't mean that shows on prime time aren't good shows. It has a...
It's modeled.
Nighttime, yeah. Shadowy look.
It does feel like it's nighttime when you look at the
yeah.
picture.
Now, yeah. I have no problem with that, but it brings out, I don't know.
You feel like a vampire when
Well,
you
I just don't know if it works with an often
News.
Lighthearted
News
nature
should,
of our programming.
Right. News should be more brightly.
It's a little,
lit.
Yeah. It's just something that I noticed. I'm not
well,
saying it's
you're
good
not
or
alone.
Bad.
The chat room said it's a little dark in here, and we do have to put more light. We have not
looks
done
like CTU. Someone said that's kind of
what's CTU
from 24. The counterterrorism unit thing.
It does.
Yeah.
It does a little bit. And they're all using.
We need
Macs.
To start interrogating each other. Where were you?
MG Siegler is also here, a great writer for TechCrunch. Which just got the new 8-bit redesign.
We did.
I'm sure you had nothing to do with that. That was all Ariana's doing.
Right.
I love it. Well, I love the big... I know there's been some criticism, but I think...
No, I love the design.
I think
you had everything
cool.
to do with it, didn't you?
I did.
No.
See, there you go. That's
He's
how it
lying.
Works.
He's lying. No.
You
did?
All I care is that it's so much faster than it was. And,
it is.
That's Did you good. Move
it,
to
it
WordPress?
It doesn't crash my browser anymore.
It doesn't crash browsers anymore, yeah. We've been on WordPress for a while, and we're staying on WordPress. We were going to... There's talk, you know, of what we're going to transition to behind the scenes, of course. You know, there's the weblog stuff going on, and then the Huffington Post runs on, I think it's their own custom version of...
That's the last thing you want.
Movable Type, right.
Well, isn't that funny, because Boing Boing just moved off Movable Type to WordPress.
Right. Well, I love WordPress. It's great.
I think WordPress is fine. It's amazing that WordPress can handle sites with this kind of traffic.
Yeah, it's the WordPress VIP thing.
WordPress has insane resources.
Yeah, they're good.
They're out of control. Yeah. They're doing some good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you're on WordPress.com?
No. Yeah, it's the WordPress.com VIP.
You're on their server.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You would think AOL would have changed that.
There was talk of it, but yeah, we just decided for now we're going to stick with this.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
It is fast. It's really fast. Much, much faster. I noticed that because... I'm always pulling up articles from TechCrunch And
good.
Yes, yes. This is the best. Yes. Love it. Even that Mike Arrington guy. I was waiting for somebody to buy a brick that says, screw you, Mike Arrington. But nobody did. It's not
well,
too late.
Well, they will now.
It's not too late.
Mike Arrington should buy a brick and say whatever
screw
he
you,
wants
Leo
to say.
Screw you, Leo LaPorte.
You'll have
there
to
you go.
Hang it on the wall.
I would put it up. If Mike did that, I would put it up.
I'll tell him. All right.
Say, screw you, Leo. You're such a troll. That would be great.
Get a picture of troll face underneath.
I would love that.
That'd be
hysterical. I'd go for that. Hey, let's take a break. We're going to come back with more with this excellent panel. I don't even want to say it. The couples version. I shouldn't
Beards
say
Beards versus Bangs.
Beards versus
Leo
Bangs.
Switzerland.
And I am Switzerland. But first, let's talk about backup. Backup done right with, you know, I hear them saying it at home, Carbonite. Carbonite.com. is online backup. It's kind of a neat story. The guy who started it, David Friend, got out of, he was a Yale graduate, I think went to graduate school at MIT, got out of school and built the ARP synthesizer. Had a great company, ARP. Remember ARP? Every rock and roll band in the world used ARP, and he just had a great life. Retired. Said, I'm done. I'm going to take it easy. One of those entrepreneurs who, you know, said, I'm happy. And then his daughter, who's in college, calls him and says, Daddy, I just lost my term paper. I've got no backup. And he thought, you know, there really has to be a better way to do this. And he got back in the game and created Carbonite, an online backup service that backs up your data wherever you are, whenever you're online. It uses 128-bit SSL, so it's safe to use at an open access spot like students use at coffee shops and stuff or at home. You can encrypt your data further using strong encryption, so your privacy is guaranteed. And the price is right. I actually put it on. It's funny. It goes full circle because I put it on my daughter's computer when she went to college so that I wouldn't get that call that David got. Unlimited online backup, $59 per year per computer. That's less than $5 a month for everything on your internal drive. And, I mean, I'm telling you, you don't ever have to think about how much data I have. You just back it up. And you can get to that data anytime. So it's cloud storage, too. So you can go to your Carbonite account on a Mac or a PC. There's your stuff. They also have smartphone apps, iPad, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry even. So you always can see your data. It's cloud storage, unlimited cloud storage for $59 a year. You know, compare that to Dropbox or anybody else, you'll realize what a good deal that is. It's also very easy to restore. That's important. And you can try it free for 2 weeks right now. Go to carbonite.com and use TWIT as the offer code. CARBONITE. Carbonite.com. Offer code TWIT. They've been a great supporter of TWIT. David is a great friend. David Friend is a great friend. It sounds a little strange, but it's true. And I really appreciate their support for everything we do here at TWIT. And I strongly encourage you to check out Carbonite for your backup needs. Moving along to, let's see what else we got here going on. Google Plus. Somebody sent me an email saying, stop talking about Google Plus. It's not public. And yet there are, what, 20 million people on it? I mean, it might as well be public. Is there anybody... ask our studio audience. We have about 25 people in the studio audience. How many of you are on Google Plus?
Pretty much
everyone. Yeah.
There's a few not.
Who wants an invite in the audience? Anyone?
Don't say that, Veronica. You'll be sorry. Okay, we'll get
in the audience.
If you're in the studio, we'll give you an invite.
There are definitely people still asking. I mean,
are there?
On a daily basis for invites. So people are not able to get in, I guess.
Lawrence Hubbard, we asked on Google Plus, ironically. Eileen Rivera, my producer, said, well, what do you want to talk about on Twitter? And one of the things that Lawrence Hubbard on Google Plus said is, what are the pros and cons of opening up to the public? It's still in the field test state. This is kind of the Airbnb issue,
yeah.
The zip card issue. What happens if everybody's on Google Plus? Is it suddenly Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, and a bunch of people you don't care about?
I mean... Google could have opened this up right away. They certainly have the infrastructure to be able
enough
to do that.
You
yeah,
bet.
I think that what they wanted to do was, first of all, it's been good for Buzz, not Buzz the product, which sucks, but the other, but Buzz.
Industry Buzz.
It almost feels like Buzz 2.0. Like they learned a lot of lessons from Google
Buzz.
I'm
just waiting for them to fold it in so Buzz is gone.
Kill Buzz,
yeah,
please.
Buzz will be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Buzz kill.
Wait, it's not already gone?
No, it's still around.
No, and it's like, yeah, it's part of Google Plus.
It's like the living dead. Yeah. It's like a zombie that just kind of slowly moves forward because nobody's there. It's just the auto posts. I mean, I have an account there that's posting all the time.
I still get responses on mine every
you
day.
Check it?
I check it because it goes to my Gmail. I see it in my web Gmail.
Because you have no choice.
I wrote a few posts about, like, you know, us removing the Buzz button on TechCrunch or whatever.
And, did you?
Yeah, and about all 25 users got really up in arms and came to the comments section. And how dare you remove
That's
the Buzz
button? That's what
they do. I vividly remember leaving Buzz and all of the hate I got from the 12 people who still used it.
Right.
Like somehow...
I don't ever really leave anything.
That was my mistake. I should have just said,
right,
I'm
just
still
quietly,
here. I'm still here. I'm still posting. Well, I love Buzz.
You know, I don't know if I 100%
Look,
agree that they
could've... Two people started following me. Look at that.
Two.
I don't know if I agree that they could have just, like, rolled it out instantly, right? I mean, like, Gmail is a pretty good example. Like, they have had really, really bad scaling issues.
Problems,
I know that I hear you complaining about this a lot, and I totally feel it, too. I can't even use Gmail over the web anymore because it's so slow for
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah, it's just so slow.
What?
Sometimes, not it's all the time. I have that
almost
issue
all the time. Rarely. It's gotten a little bit better, but there was like a while where it was like unusable.
In the mornings, it's
and
like
especially for Google, who's obsessed with speed. Like, they're right, so obsessed with speed. Yeah. It's really uncharacteristic. So I think, you know...
Boy, that just popped up for me.
Nobody's really ever
it's
like...
It's badder in the morning?
Yeah.
More bad.
More
badder.
The batterist.
Bad, Wicked more batter man. Guy.
I don't think anybody's really ever gained anything by not letting their customers use their product for an extended period of time. You gotta let them in sometime. Right?
I think they also...
There are laws of physics that must be abided.
They had said... I met with them a little bit before it launched, and the reason why they wanted to do the staggered rollout is also because they really did want to iterate on the fly. They knew this time that they wouldn't nail everything out of the box, even though they had been internally dog food testing it. You know, they had done that with Wave, and Wave was great internally, but then when it was released, there were so many things that were wrong with it. So they knew that, like, as long as they could do this staggered rollout, still on a massive scale, they would get a lot of good feedback on it, and I think that they have.
Well, I mean, there's certain things that obviously need to be worked out, like collapsible comments would be really nice.
Yeah, it seems like the number one request.
And I want options on what notifications that I see. If someone I don't know shares a post with me, I want to be able to toggle that notification on or off. I use Google Apps, which is made using Google Plus with Google Apps unusable. Now I have to use two browsers, or I have to go incognito within Chrome. It's like there are things that they probably knew would be an issue, but now they see how many people it's affecting. Okay, you know, do 100 people have this problem, or do a million people have this problem? So that's all part of the learning experience.
Right now is people commenting on way earlier things like posts or albums or something. Right.
Or just
a
repeating animated GIF that keeps coming back again.
So stuff like that.
That freaking squid that comes alive with the soy sauce. If I have to see that one, I jump every time.
I think I gave him nightmares for a week. I was like, this is hilarious. And he's like, oh,
it's so awful.
I didn't watch
awful.
It because I knew it would be awful.
You haven't seen it?
No, well, I've seen it in my feeds. I just don't.
Not really a lot.
Eileen, you got this? Is it coming up on the...
I'm going to pull it up. If I search for squid...
All right, warning, it is kind of horrifying to see, but the squid is dead.
Wait a minute, there's no plus on
it's just
Google
reacting
Plus.
To the salt
there's no
content
search on Google
soy
Plus.
Sauce.
How would I even
find it? How
does
it do that when it's dead?
Well, because it has muscle contractions based on the... Yeah, it's just
weird.
It's
neurological stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, I mean, Facebook does the same thing.
I can't find it because there's no search on this thing.
Yes, search is another major lacking thing. It's only Google, you know.
Facebook does the same thing, though. They don't roll out features to their entire user base instantly. Even the biggest launches where they get everybody in the room and they talk about how awesome it is, that comes out over the course of weeks and sometimes months before it hits the entire user base. So, I mean, it's not that unusual. When you're talking about the scale of tens, hundreds of millions of people, you can't fling the doors wide open. It's very... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever actually done that successfully. Like, had a
Buzz
flawless,
might have been
successful
did they,
launch
did
with
they do
hundreds
that with
of millions of users.
I don't remember it being a rollout for
Buzz.
I think
that they rolled it out much faster anyway, but yeah. What do you guys actually think of Google Plus? Do you like it?
I really like it. I mean, I've been having fun using it. I've almost been...
I love it.
I've been off Facebook almost.
I haven't been using Twitter at all.
80% off Facebook.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. I think the interactions there are really good. I like the sharing features.
Still
a lot.
Driving traffic to your pages, everybody? I mean,
I actually haven't checked much. I don't blog my own content that much on Google Plus, so I haven't really.
I
seen
I don't either.
Yeah, I use it really more for just sharing stuff I
it's
like on
thing.
The internet
yeah.
rather than personal brand sharing kind of stuff. You know,
that's one of the successes of it. It's just its own thing. It's not a reshare of your Twitter feed or your blog posts. It's just your Google Plus shares.
And when there really is a conversation to be had around something, that's where I've really seen the benefit of people having really great discussions, and you know, better than I've seen on Twitter, better than.
And
I've
there
seen
it
on
is, ladies and gentlemen. The
oh, there he goes.
Oh, it's creepy.
Whoa.
So it's not alive, but they pour soy sauce on it.
Why?
Okay, that's just painful.
That is so weird.
You never saw that before?
Well, it's why is that being shared that much?
The funny thing is, Trey Ratcliffe just reshared that.
He's been busy in Paris.
It's on the top of
pictures.
My stream. You just can't get away from this thing. This thing lives on Google Plus.
Well, that's the issue, is that things are getting reshared
by
already friends with the first sharer, and then you're friends with the next person who shares it, and then the first sharer is...
They just need to talk to the friend feed guys who learn these lessons over the course of
the friend feed guys who are all now at Facebook.
Facebook. Right? Yeah.
Those guys.
Hey, friend feed guys, how do we make Google Plus better?
How do we kill you?
Hey, Google Plus guys, why don't you stop calling me?
I bet that exchange actually happened. Paul Buchheit said, Brett Taylor, no, I'm not going to tell you. What are you crazy?
Yeah, I think the circles and the ability to filter. I wish I could filter the opposite way, where I tried a little experiment where I tried to make a group of a circle of sword and laser people, and then I realized that was a bad idea because now there's a lot of people I don't know showing up in my primary timeline.
Yeah,
I only added like 150 people, but that was a mistake. It's not the way it should be used, and I learned that lesson pretty quickly. But I'm glad that people can filter me out if they don't want to see me in certain circles, you know, if they just want... But that's the thing. Like, I don't just post tech stuff. I post funny stuff, or I post Game of Thrones stuff.
And it's hard to pick circles.
And I feel bad because I don't want to be in a different area than people expect me to be in, and then
I still think the circle thing is going to break down really quickly. I think it's just people are just going to use it for friends. You know, there's standard ones. There's friends, coworkers, and family. And that's like it. Yeah. You know, maybe people will use one of those, like, or just like, because they make you drag everyone at least into one circle to be able to see it. I don't think that's going to scale. I think it's a good idea at first. And, you know, they have a really nice mechanism for doing it. But then when you have to manage it, it's a huge pain. I mean, no one's going to go back in and say, like,
it's a lot easier than it was on Facebook.
It is. But it was broken on Facebook, and they'll first to admit that, too.
Here's something that collapses the Google Plus stream.
Yeah, I use one of those.
There's a lot of extensions on Chrome for Google Plus.
There's some that
including
I've
one that will
really
see
helpful.
A GIF that you've seen before and block future. I don't know. It must be doing some sort of image recognition. And it will block it again from your stream in the future.
Oh.
Isn't that clever?
Yeah.
Are you watching out for the file name?
Clever, but again, this is all stuff that eventually Google Plus should have natively.
I think we should just make it a rule. Everybody watching, stop resharing. We already saw it. Stop resharing.
I just reshared your Twit Live.
Stop it.
Watch my show.
Don't do it anymore.
Stop spreading the word.
Make your own stuff.
That's not what the internet's for.
Leo, done.
Make your own stuff. Type what I said, but in your own words.
It would be nice if they could filter out stuff you've seen already in a share.
Just stop resharing.
That's not a Google Plus problem. I have that problem on Tumblr, where I'm following five people with similar interests.
Yeah.
It's always bothered me, and I don't know what the solution is. Tumblr's, they haven't figured it out either. That's just a problem with something that a lot of people find interesting, and then friendships overlap. You start seeing
the
same
stuff. But that is how we learn. It's just not as intrusive on Twitter.
Right.
It happens on Twitter, but you don't see the image.
Right.
So it's easier to skim over. It's what social is all about, right? Is everybody's, that's how you know. 1,000 people, say that Michael Jackson's dead. Well, you know, that's how you see it.
Right.
That's how you know. MG, you wrote an article about Google's new page speed service. This is just wild.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but they're apparently they want people to switch over to using.
How do you do this?
So you have to switch over to using Google's DNS servers, and then when you do that, you basically grant them access to be able to look at the way that your site is written, and they can reconfigure things to make it as fast as possible in their view of how.
So instead of using, I'm registered on hover.com, instead of using Hover's DNS servers,
You would switch.
I would go to ghs.google.com in the CNAME entry, and that's it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do that.
Well, and you sign up for the page speed service.
I want to do that.
So
what does Google get out of this?
Interesting concept, but it doesn't, like, the stuff that does really basic. So, you know, like, it compresses your JavaScript.
It compresses,
like, minifies your CSS and stuff like that, which is great. But
so does it do any caching? It does
caching, does some edge caching. But if there's like anything dynamic on your page, like, it's not really going to work. We actually tried it just, you know.
Well, of course not. If it redraws a page every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we were just like kind of fooling around. So we did like a, you know, the tool that estimates how much faster your site's going to be. And we tried it on Gadget, and it was like 5 to 10% slower, I think. It actually said like red, negative, like you lose speed by doing this.
So they actually
told you that.
Yeah, I know. They try to be.
And this is going to be a paid service. So when you said money, it's not.
Yeah. Right. It's free for now. They're trying it out for free. But yeah, eventually it'll be a paid thing that they offer. Hmm.
So now they have a test, a web page test, where I could run twit.tv through it. Natively, and then through it, we'll see. We'll let this run.
There are other people who do this, like
apparently
Cloudflare's one. I think they did a thing at Disrupt, but they focus more on security for the aspect of it, and as a side effect, you get a better page load time.
Mm. Huh. So the test started 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, this takes a while.
It's a long test. All right. Well, we'll come back and give you the results.
You know what I want? I want Google to do a service that's like this, except for restaurants, and then taking all the flash off the page and doing a flash-free restaurant web hosting service.
Yeah, right, yeah. I love that.
That would be awesome. I would pay them for that.
What is the name of the new Harry Potter?
Pottermore. You're talking about where you get
this
the e-book?
Yeah, this is J.K. Rowling's doing a site. Now, J.K. Rowling's original site was all flash. It was the worst thing I ever saw in my life.
Yeah. I love that you know that.
It's part of my job.
All right.
It's part of my job. Now, unfortunately, this is closed to sign-ups, but I would bet, just looking at it, don't you think it's going to be all flash? It's going to be a huge amount of flash. And then we get the video of J.K. Rowling, which for a while didn't register.
13 years after the first Harry Potter book was published, I'm still astonished and delighted by the response the story's made.
Only now, I'm the richest woman in England. I have so much money, I can laugh at you all. But I'm going to make more. So this is going to be new Harry Potter stuff? Wasn't it enough? Wasn't seven books enough?
It's kind of like the... I'm going to get in trouble with this. It's kind of like the Cimmerillion for Harry Potter in a way.
Right.
I think it's a
Got
lot
it.
Of like Got backstory it. Stuff,
right.
and
that makes
you can
sense.
Kind of dive deeper into the storylines, into the people and the houses. And correct me if I'm wrong, chat room, but I'm pretty sure that's
makes
what
sense.
It's supposed to be.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, that's what I understand of it. Also, I mean, for diehard Harry Potter fans, we all know them.
We talked
or
a lot.
We are them.
Yeah.
We talked
whatever.
A lot about Google and others trying to buy those patents, which Google didn't get, but Apple and its consortium did. There are other patents now. IBM sold some patents to Google.
IBM owns all the patents.
IBM, ever. Yeah. IBM. One of the reasons IBM's still around as a player is because they have so many patents. Mm-hmm. Google acquired 1,000. Patents, and I don't know if this is that Google wants to become a patent troll. It's more just...
It's like defensive.
Defensive, yeah. Yeah.
I think they feel really threatened after the Nortel patent thing.
They felt threatened before it. They still have less than 1,000 patents total. Well, now they
really?
Finally
that's
have over...
All they have?
Yeah, yeah. They had like
So they more than doubled
something.
Their patents.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why it was so vital that they really needed to win those 6,000-plus Nortel patents, and...
I think Apple and Microsoft
realized that and just swooped in there and screwed them.
Very interesting.
But, yeah, I mean, Google's stance now is that there are plenty of patents out there, they say, and they'll go after every one of them. They're trying to get to the point where, you know, they reach, mutual assured destruction, where they just stop getting
really
sued by everyone.
It almost doesn't even matter what the patents are for.
Right. Because they don't need to cancel each other out necessarily. They just need to be able to sue other people are going to sue them.
Threaten to sue them.
Yeah, you're going to sue me for that. I'm going to sue you for that.
Right. The companies are buying weapons, for these battles with shields and guns. It's really odd.
It's really funny because This American Life just did a show about this whole thing last week, I think, or the week before, and it's an amazing program. If you know a lot about this space, nothing surprising in there, but. Many of the terms that they use to describe patents are terms that are, mutually assured destruction, weapons
war.
Nuclear war, weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. I mean, it is very much Cold War-like.
Yeah.
It is the way you combat your opponents without actually attacking them.
Can we all conclude that just software patents are a terrible idea? Let's just get rid of them? Or is there any justification? Is there any, it's funny, I got in a little battle with Neil I. Patel, who kind of believes in software patents. I was a little surprised. I don't think there's any justification. For it. Let's get rid of them. Look at the wasted amount of money, time, innovation that's lost because of software patents.
Well, I think the problem with software patents is that things are patented under the guise of software patents that are just conceptual.
Right.
And that's, I think, where... I mean, there are two really big problems. There's the conceptual patents that are just very broad, and they don't really make any sense as patents because patents are supposed to be non-obvious. And then there are these, you know, this other class of patents, which is just duplicating stuff that's already been patented. So you have duplication, and then you also have concept. Patents are supposed to be about specific specific ideas and processes. So if you're talking about, like, you know, there are infinite ways to, you know, add and subtract and divide numbers to get to a million. So if you're talking about one specific way to do that, that's very different from the concept of adding numbers until you get to a million.
So do we just need to reform the system?
I think, no matter what happens, we have to. It's so
horrible. Right. And they tried to do that, and they only did, you know, they had limited its success. I think they reformed a bit of the patent office, how it works or whatever, and that, there were some pluses in that, but overall the system is still the same. And, I mean, this keeps coming up and up over and over again. It's like Google, this is the big story now, because Google, their mentality has always been like, oh, we don't really need to worry about the patent issue. And so they're the guy who everyone is coming after. And that's why this is a story now. It's not just Android patents. It's the other thing, you know, the MPEG LA stuff.
ZPA, yeah. Let's talk about that. Well, go ahead.
But it's, you know, like Microsoft back in the day, even though they're now a big patent player, they used to have a similar mentality where they didn't think that they needed, you know, to get all these patents until everyone started coming after them. And now they're one of the big players. And this is going to force Google to be one of the big players in it. And I think that, you know, the problem might go away for a little bit once Google gets up to their level that where they can, you know, dissuade these other attacks from coming up. But then it will keep coming up again when some other player is up there.
It's totally unsustainable.
You get the sense that the people who are granting the software patents don't really understand what the patents
mean. Right. They get a certain, I think they get like 12 hours or something to look at one, and if they make a mistake, then it's, you know, weeks
and there's no domain expertise required. It's not like the people who are reviewing software patents have to be former software engineers.
Right.
And that's you know, I think you could probably solve like 80% of the problems just by ensuring domain expertise of patent review.
Yeah.
It's just top to bottom.
Neil, I also suggested making it very expensive to pursue a patent, which eliminates.
I think in many ways that's actually worse, because that right now it's broken to the point where only, you know, the big players.
What's the little guy do?
Yeah, exactly. If you're a small startup and you have no defense against this, then it just gets even worse when your one potential defense is now swept out from underneath you.
Right. So MPEG LA is the company that owns the H.264 patent. It's a consortium of a bunch of different companies. They said, "Well, we'll never charge royalties for small companies." You know, there's a real risk. I mean, we distribute stuff in H.264. There's the real, very real risk that they could come along and say to podcasters, for instance, "Hey, well, you know, pay up because you're using H.264. They said, "Oh, we'll never do that." So Google suggested they purchased WebM, which is a codec, and underlying that is VP8. And they said, "Look, we're going to open source this. We're going to buy this. We're going to open source it. We're going to say, we're going to, you know, onto the company that developed VP8, we own them, and we're going to give you perpetual royalty-free licenses to the patents on VP8. So everybody just use it." It was their proposal to use it in HTML5. Well, now MPEG LA has fired back, and they say, well, turns out 12 companies have patents essential to the VP8 algorithm, and that, in fact, Google isn't going to be able to either indemnify or give you royalty-free licenses.
Well, the good news here is nobody actually uses WebM. Except Google.
Everybody uses H.264. I mean, this is a little scary.
Well, yeah. I mean, both Google and Mozilla. So Mozilla is obviously the huge open source player. Google less so, that they're trying to, you know, say that they're always open about everything. But
if they could both agree, for instance, to use WebM.
Yes. And Mozilla's always, because one of the reasons that Google says that they got, that they're doing this whole WebM thing is because Mozilla would never get on board with H.264 fully.
Right.
Because they will not use something that's patent encumbered at all.
And so they did not build in to the browser the ability to play back H.264.
Right. And so they won't do that, and so HTML5 can't move forward with using that.
There is no, right now in HTML5, the bracket, video bracket, doesn't call on anything because of this. There's no support for anything.
And so Google, you know, has said that they're going to support this basically because, you know, Mozilla is supporting this, and they agree with that stance that this is the right thing to do, that they think that they can, you know, prove that this is the open source way to do it. The problem has been, and people have been saying this, you know, that no one's sure that these are fully patent protected, and what happens, you know, why would everyone switch over to using that? You know, of course, at the same time, on the opposite ends, Apple and Microsoft and many others are the players who are a part of the MPEG LA consortium, so they all have, you know, conflicting interests here about this, but it's another, you know, mucked up situation.
We're to take a break. When we come back, the biggest story, the story that everybody on Google Plus wanted us to talk about, AT&T has said, oh, you know, that unlimited plan that you guys have grandfathered in, not so fast. We'll talk about throttling, and there's a few people who'd like to throttle AT&T right now. Before I do, though, let me talk about FreshBooks, FreshBooks.com, if you'd like to follow along with me at home. You know, it's funny. I found out about FreshBooks myself and started using them 7 years ago. Because I was still a freelancer. I was working up in Canada doing the TV shows up there and would bill Rogers every month. And I just hated making invoices. You know, you launch Excel or Word or something, and, you know, you print it out and you mail it to them, and you hope you remember to do it at the end of the month. And if you don't, you hope you remember to do it at the end of the next. It's a pain in the butt. So she said, look, hey, there's this really cool site.
Amber.
Amber did, not you.
No.
Amber MacArthur did. And she said, look, there's this really cool site. It's very Web 2.0. It's called FreshBooks. Some Toronto folks created it. And I started using this, and it was just a lifesaver. I put my logo on the page. It sends out email invoices. It'll also print. I used to print for Rogers. I would print and send an email invoice. But this, now 2 million people have used FreshBooks. It is so cool. They've added some really nice features. For instance, now with FreshBooks, they have a Pay Me Now button right in the invoice. So, you know, I think a lot of times your clients want to pay you right away. It's just a pain, just as much as invoices is a pain. Paying the bills is a pain. So now they just click the button and they can use a credit card or PayPal or authorized net. There's 11 other payment gateways just to pay you right away. You can even set up automatic payments, which is so cool. Automatic invoicing, automatic payments. So you both are kind of out of the loop. It just happens for you. This was nice for me because I worked in Canada. It does all the currencies. It does the currency translations automatically. For an additional fee, they will print it out, stamp it, and mail it for you, which I think is really great. If you do time and hours, they have an iPhone app, but there's also a web app that will keep track of your time and hours and then put it right in the bill. So many nice features on this. If you're still doing invoices the old way, by hand, check it out. Here's the deal. Go to FreshBooks.com right now, and you can start for free. Free for the first 3 clients. Easily upgraded to 25 clients for about $20 a month. It's very affordable. But free for the first 3. Forever. I mean, that's a really nice deal. It'll only take you about a minute to set up an account. And once you've got it, you are going to love it. And by the way, they are giving away a birthday cake to one of our audience members every week. You don't have to be, you have to be your birthday to get the birthday cake. Just sign up and let them know you heard about it on Twit. FreshBooks.com. Make billing and invoicing absolutely painless. It's just great. One of the first Web 2.0 sites I ever used. And I still have a real soft spot for them. They're just fantastic. Free for the first 3, FreshBooks.com. Thank them for their support of this week in tech. Here's the... I think you did this chart, didn't you, MG? Is that your chart?
No.
This is from Ars Technica.
No.
I love this. They did a nice job of putting together all the costs of data from all the different... Oh, it's Apple Insider that did this. AppleInsider.com did this chart. But unfortunately, AT&T is going to throttle the heaviest unlimited data users starting October 1st. Do you have an unlimited plan, Sarah? Still?
People who want it the
Did
most.
You grandfather? Yeah, the ones who want it.
Yeah. Well, I do for my iPad, yeah, because I started on AT&T. But what's funny about this story, I kind of have to just chuckle, is that I moved over from AT&T to Verizon because AT&T was downright unusable in our apartment and many other
on this
places.
iPad.
So I decided, even though I know that data is overall going to be a little bit slower on Verizon, I'm willing to take that hit because I want my tablet or my phone to be stable overall.
Yeah.
And to think that AT&T is going to throttle people who are heavy users, and I'm totally in that 5% bracket. I mean, it's like if it means 5 hours of streaming music per month, that's me. I just kind of have to laugh because it's like, well, what else do they have if they're not going to be any faster data-wise?
That's a good point. Why use AT&T?
I don't know. I mean, some people say, I don't have a problem with AT&T. It works just fine in my town. That's great. It doesn't work fine
not
in San
in the Bay
Francisco.
Area. Nope.
So that's why I moved. So I think, I don't know what the problem is.
Well, there's a lot of irate users. Let me just put it that way. October 1st, they don't say what kind of throttling. It says, starting October 1st, smartphone customers with unlimited data plans may experience reduced speeds once their usage in a billing cycle reaches the level, you can't even know this, by the way, that puts you among the top 5% of heaviest data users. You don't even know that. It would just happen. It's not like, oh, you've used 4 gigabytes, you've used 5 gigabytes. No. You just have to be in this magic top 5%. I think that's annoying.
Well, I mean, look, I don't really personally get much joy out of defending AT&T.
I think you're enjoying it right now.
Man, they are...
Just to be
contrary. I just
want
to toss my phone out the window at any given moment. But, I mean, how many people does this really affect?
Well, they say an extraordinarily small... Well, it's 5%.
Yeah,
they 1 in 20.
Exactly. 5%, 1 in 20. And what are you doing to kind of get to that point? I mean, it's still
you're
kind
watching
of
watching Twit?
What, live? Every
yeah,
every
all the
every
time.
Day?
That's
non-stop.
Not on Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Highly recommended.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do.
Well, I think your experience would be better on Wi-Fi. You're going to get higher quality video.
Maybe you're mobile. Maybe you don't have Wi-Fi nearby.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I suspect these top 5%, a lot of them don't. They use 3G for their internet.
Their main computer and stuff.
Yeah. I think that's probably more than a few people who do that. Moving around, exactly. Or truck drivers, I know they do that.
I went through my my bandwidth on my iPad and... 3 days last month. 3 days.
How many gigs
did you
buy?
You had like the lowest one, right? Like 150 megs or something?
Well, of course you went through it in 3 days.
Or 200,
yeah.
Or whatever.
That's when I laugh at the Chromebook. You get 100 megs a month.
Yeah,
that's like, what is
generous,
that?
Yeah. I wish I had unlimited on my iPad. That would be nice.
That's attempting to load my Gmail once.
Yeah. 100 megs. I don't even know. I can't even think of what is 100 megs? Nothing. Oh, here's my speed comparison. It came in. Optimized, you get it in a second less. It's 20% or 18.5% improvement in page load time. And if you go there the second time, so they are doing some caching, 23% improvement. So that's worth it. Now, it's free right now if you can get into the program. I would do that. And we are already, by the way, this is PHP. We're doing all that PHP caching and stuff. I mean, we do a lot of caching. So this is a dynamic page, but it is heavily cached. And that's a pretty big improvement. I would do that. And look, they made a movie for me. Let's see.
Yeah, it shows the
original
the loads
optimized
next to each other.
Oh, look at that.
Holy cow. Oh. It's black and white. Oh.
They also turn your side black.
That's what you have to give up.
They didn't mention that. Remember that they used to do that on AOL? All the images would be squunched beyond repair. Yeah.
Is that a technical term?
Squunched.
Squunched.
It is. It's exactly a technical term.
Well, you never heard that one?
I haven't, actually. Squunched.
Squunched? You've never heard
I'm
that?
I'm going to add that to my vocabulary.
Topiary. He did it for the lulz. Ryan Massey on Google Plus suggested we talk about the Lulzsec story. British police arrested a teenager yesterday, actually on July 27th. They said it's Topiary, who of course is the guy who has been chatting with people on Twitter and other places.
He's got a good sense of humor.
He's a funny guy. Lulzsec, they think, might have deliberately tricked the authorities into believing that somebody else is the real Topiary.
That
are they that
about
smart?
Right.
Yeah. According to an article published on the Daily Tech website by Jason Mick, the real Topiary is a 23-year-old Swedish hacker, not a teenager from Shetland. He's got a chat log. Do you think there's just one Topiary, or is it like that? It's like V. Is it like that movie? What's that movie?
V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta.
I think that they would.
I am Spartacus.
I guess it's possible that Topiary is just one person physically living in Sweden or wherever, but it makes more sense that it's a group of people because that's how this whole anonymous Lulzsec organization, it's all founded on the idea that you can't just arrest somebody and the whole thing's going to stop because there are too many of us and we're all working together and you don't know who we are.
Topiary's Twitter feed has gone silent. But maybe that's part of the game.
If they want the authorities to think that he's in custody.
This reminds me a lot of V for Vendetta. I love this. They're playing with everybody.
Well, it could be the other way, too, where he actually wants to be the only, or she, or whoever, they want to be the only Topiary. But when you're really underground like this, you can't exactly come out and say, that guy's not Topiary.
Actually, what you want is for everybody to think he's Topiary.
In some ways, yeah. I mean, if you're
feel
doing
bad for the
reputation,
kid.
But,
right?
Yeah.
So HR 1981 passed the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday. It's the ISP data retention bill. Of course, they use child pornography, as always, as the straw man.
You don't want this, right?
Oh, man.
Pass this bill, then.
You must be in favor of child pornography if you don't like this idea. What it does is it requires internet service providers to keep 12-month logs of customers' names, credit card information, and other identifying information so that law enforcement can go to the ISP and say, hey, who did that when? Now, admittedly, it could, you know, if you were a child pornographer, this, you know, that if they wanted that information to be valuable. But there's lots of other things, including piracy, that this might be useful for. Center for Democracy and Technology says we don't see that this would help in any way catch criminals involved in child pornography. It's going to be a tiny percentage of the cases law enforcement uses.
This also sounds like it's going to get hacked in, you know, 6 hours.
Yeah, it's just so easy to get around. I mean, okay, go to library, spoof your MAC address.
Just don't use your home computer.
Yeah, or you know, use your neighbor's internet connection. I mean, there's just, it's so incredibly easy.
That's the real problem, though, is to assume that this was the IP address that this came in on.
Yeah, and this and this, then now this it's got to be become Ryan. An issue because right. Wasn't there somebody recently who was picked up?
He was
for child pornography.
SWAT squad moved in. It was his neighbor using his Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you might want to keep your eye on HR 1981. And
sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah. HR 1984.
Yeah. Oh.
It should be, shouldn't it? They missed it by three. They missed it by three.
Well done.
Moving on. Let's see what else. And you've got all the stories there. If anybody wants to pick, I'm not going to get to all of them. The Walkman is back. That's exciting.
So confused.
Are you excited about that?
Five stories and you settled on the Walkman story.
You don't think that's
no, we didn't skip five stories. I'm asking you
whatever you want to talk about.
Listen, I will say that the Walkman, I like it because there's a karaoke button. So
yes,
exactly.
You know me, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, we have karaoke together.
I really
want to
do a twit lip dub.
Wonderful.
In the studio, wouldn't that be fun?
It would be pretty fun.
Yeah. You guys did one. You did a great one at Revision 3.
We did. Yes.
I like that.
It was fun.
Pre
before my time. Yeah.
Pre Veronica. Yeah. Who is Chamillionaire? MG Sigler.
I have to say, I'm like, why does he keep coming
up? I would say this on the car ride up here.
I think he's topiary, actually.
At tech conferences, he's been like on panels.
It's a great name. I don't know what it means.
I asked MG, why do we keep talking about Chamillionaire? I don't know one of his songs. And MG says, because he goes to every conference. I said, why does he go to every tech conference?
You don't know all the words to Ride and Dirty?
No, I don't.
Oh, he's the Ride and Dirty guy?
I thought he was the backup on
this. This is why Spotify was invented.
I only know the Weird Al version, White and Nerdy.
White and Nerdy.
I didn't even know that was a Chamillionaire spoof.
Apparently.
That's the only one I know.
So he's maybe not the guy that song. In that one.
I know that song. Is that his famous song?
Yeah, I think he won a Grammy for it.
Well, there you go.
I don't know for that.
He's not on Spotify.
I don't know what the kids are listening to.
Oh, no, loading. It's loading. Spotify's still loading.
Is he going to also win a Crunchy for best hip-hop star in the tech community?
He does. He's on his way.
He says, I've used Android devices and they suck.
Okay. So he was at. So he came to.
Was it Disrupt?
No, it was our smaller mobile Crunch Up event thing on Friday down in Palo Alto at the AOL offices actually, and he got up at the very end of the conference. You got the. Song.
I got it.
Okay,
you can pump it up in the house, and we're gonna have a dance party right after MG explains who that
is. And so he got up, and like I was saying earlier, we had Mateus Duarte from Android up there, and Chamillionaire asked him just right to his face, just. Said basically, I've tried to use so many Android devices out there, and they all suck.
So this guy's like you guys.
Yeah.
What's Chamillionaire's birth name? Do we know?
It's on his Crunchbase profile.
He has a Crunchbase profile.
It's just funny when we. Yeah. And then Chamillionaire asked, "This is Riding Dirty."
All right, everybody, let's go. Is this going to get filthy in a minute?
I don't know. I've never heard this.
This is from Everybody Wants a Thug, ladies and gentlemen. Chamillionaire.
They see me rolling. They hate
me. How do I not know the song?
Patrolling and trying to catch me riding.
I don't think I should explain the context behind this song and what it's about, but you might be able to use your imagination.
I thought it was just when you need a new exhaust pipe or something. You're riding dirty.
Maybe you didn't use mobile oil.
You didn't get your smog check.
No smog check this month.
Unleaded option.
Traded in your Prius.
He's riding dirty.
I am a bad dancer. I'm glad that's over.
So this is my favorite paragraph from MG Sigler's Chamillionaire pleads with Android design to give him a decent device. My favorite But Chameleonaire kept pressing. He wanted a single, clear answer. Yeah. Which Android device should he use? This is the Duarte guy. This is Sicilian.
Yeah, he basically told him, you know, stay tuned. We're going to have some better devices coming out for you.
I'm hoping the
Which has been
soon.
Their stock answer since
Which has always been the answer, yes.
We're going to
yes,
have
right.
an Android phone right. that you are going to love, said Duarte.
Yeah.
That's it was, does he sound
it
like
was,
that?
It was a great, it was a fun moment, though, in a, you know, a brief moment of levity. And, and the
Why
otherwise.
Is Chameleonaire at your event?
He's the.
He
know.
Actually
so does
he
tech really
rapper?
Like technology, and he, so he goes. Or
who
how did
who
he?
Doesn't
well,
like
I mean,
technology.
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
But didn't he has an app or some. I, some
he was
of...
doing something for a while. He has like some you know startup investments or something that he was doing. But he, I mean, he gets up there and he's been on stage before at Disrupt, and he
I
is
like
very
that.
Knowledgeable
I like
about
that.
What. And he asks the best questions usually because it's like instead of all of us thinking you know amongst each other and we're all like speaking in circles, you know he. Thinks more like outside the box,
yeah,
like a regular
tech Why is this
user.
No good?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, actually. Yeah.
It's kind of funny how anytime someone's more well-known for a song called Riding Dirty or for being a very successful actor or something like that, when they get really interested in technology, all the rest of us go, what are they doing here?
Right. I think it's less than that. I think we're get just more, like, kind of confused. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't...
Are you for real? Do you really care?
You sure?
Yeah, it happens.
By the way, when I search
I wish
for...
more people were, like,
Me too.
Interested in technology.
Did you
yeah.
try and search
cool
for Riding Dirty?
I, when I searched for Riding Dirty,
don't look at the images.
Weird Al's came up.
And, okay, okay.
Oh, the images?
Yeah. Don't do that.
Should I go to Urban Dictionary and
yeah.
look it up?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that might
just not up on the screen.
That's where I would always go when you kids
or blur would... the whole thing.
Nice.
It doesn't have quite the bass.
Yes, they do have. What you need to do is stick with the beat. You're going real fast.
We should get the audience
anthem.
Shot where no one is moving.
They're just sitting still. They're like, what's
this
the
is dead
hell?
Out there.
I was told this would be The Price is Right. Where's Bob Barker? Logitech. Oh, this is so exciting. I know you've all been waiting to buy Google TV. Logitech has dropped the price to $99.
They're flooding the market.
We have one. It's been...
$299? Did you pay
$299?
It has
yet.
Not been removed from the box.
Oh. We've had it...
You might just want to
many
leave
months.
It there.
Any months, yeah. That's
I bought
so
it for $299.
And?
It disconnected it. I did take it out of the box, connected it. But if they... Okay. So somebody asked me, should we get this? If they put Android Market on that device, and you can now suddenly play Angry Birds...
Right,
yeah,
which you
if,
can on the Roku,
if,
right?
I mean, you could say that to any product. If this product did this, and
right,
this,
right.
with software
If
updates,
it was just,
like,
if it was
could.
Better...
It would be easy for them to put the
if
market
they, if they made the product better, I might use it. I'm not sure, though.
Well, maybe you should buy it for $99, and then they'd make the product better. No, that doesn't work that way.
The better thing about that story, and I think that they refuted this now, or I think Engadget actually posted the
correction.
Yeah, the correction of it. But it was originally, when it came out, saying that... there were more returns than there were sales
oh,
of
what?
The review.
Exactly.
Ouch.
It's like, how does it...
They're
math?
Saying now they're saying like that they're that the the
all the reviewers returned it in addition to all the people who bought
that
it.
Could be a part of it, but no, I think they're saying that the you know the actual retailers that they shipped it to, so these weren't users returning them.
Returns
in other words, it
was, from the channel,
yeah, from the channel inventory. Mm-hmm.
So in other words,
which isn't any better. I mean, that's
no, it's
like,
worse.
Yeah.
Really terrible.
Right. That's
maybe
worse.
We shouldn't unbox it.
Yeah, it's going to be a collector's
might need
item.
To return it and get some money.
Well, you can't sell it for $299 on eBay anymore. I can tell you that right now. That's it on that. Let's see here. Nintendo having kind of the same problem with, surprisingly, the 3DS. Price
Wait, surprisingly?
To 80. Whoa, didn't you think that was awesome? No. You know, if they put Android Marketplace on it, it could be amazing.
It's true, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's like they just have that. They have the new Android phones. It's the 3D one, right? And that's like
there
the
are
same
a bunch
thing.
Of 3D it's, phones.
It's such
What's
a,
the deal?
It's a novelty thing that's like interesting for 5 minutes, and then
we
are
had
you...
somebody in studio though. One of our fans came in with it, and he was taking pictures, and he said, "Now go like this." So that it will look cool. And Chad, you saw it, right? It looked cool. See, he's nodding. Of course, he's like 12.
And he and his one friend who have the 3DS can see that image. Right. And then everyone else can.
Everyone else.
It's lenticular, so you don't need glasses. Same thing with the phones. You don't need glasses.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's kind of cool.
I get real
It's also really hard to see.
Looking at 3D things.
Low contrast.
But they have a little slider that you can turn it up and down, which I think is so silly.
Could you imagine having that as your main phone, though? Like a 3D screen
no,
trying
that's
to look
bad
at
idea.
That? The amount we all look at our phones?
So the Nintendo 3DS was $250. They're going to drop it to $169. So it didn't go down to $80. It went down by $80. Mm-hmm. Still not enough.
Wasn't Amazon having a real hard time? Didn't they take the 3DS off the store for a while, too? I believe Amazon took the 3DS down.
Yeah, they did. I don't remember. Wait, are you recusing from this or not?
Sorry, I'm stating a fact. I wasn't making a judgment call. As I do a show on the PlayStation Network, I should recuse myself from the discussion of gaming consoles.
Oh, yeah, Nintendo. No, you can you can dish.
We were talking about this last week on TNT and how at least most of us on the show said, listen, Nintendo has been somewhat vocal about how a lot of mobile gaming apps and the experience is just kind of crappy, and they're coming from a high quality standpoint, and they're just not really going to get into that game, and they're almost more annoyed than anything else by how the quality of the gaming experience has been diminished by all these just developers putting out something that's kind of stupid. Well, you look at numbers like this and you think, okay, well, Nintendo has to at least admit that whether they think it's crap or not, it's eating into their market.
Right. Yeah, they see the train coming, but they're paralyzed to act. And the funny thing is they more than anybody else, more than Microsoft or Sony, they've been vocal about the fact that Apple is kind of their new, they called it the competitor of the future, right? So what I've been saying for years is, okay, they've got the biggest and arguably one of the best game publishing houses in the world. I mean, they build their entire hardware business around their franchises. Mm-hmm. Just go make software. If the gaming experience is so crap on phones, go put Mario Kart on some phones.
Sega ended up doing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They couldn't hack the hardware business. Right, the hardware business was dragging them down. They almost died. They brought back, they brought the brand back as a software business, licensed the IP, did all kinds of stuff like that on the software side, and they're doing pretty well.
Those would be massive if they got like Mario and Zelda on the iPhone.
It would be outrageous.
Yeah. That's all I would do.
They'd make more money on that instantly.
I know.
Pokemon.
I think it's a very Japanese way of approaching the problem. You know, they're trying to control it end to end.
Get out of the hardware business. Get out of the hardware business. Tom Merritt, speaking of TNT, Tom Merritt's across the room. But he's not. He's going to do this on video. I saw him come in. What's coming up next week, or this week, the week ahead with Tom Merritt from Tech News Today.
In New York City. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Lee.
it was short. It was a short week.
Did you catch it?
It was a short weekend.
Let me
start over.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at what we'll be covering on Tech News Today in the week ahead. Today, Sunday, July 31st, all Google profiles go public. We'll see if there's any fallout from that. Also today, the Motorola Photon 4G comes to Sprint for $200 on contract. And a lot of stuff happening today. Pottermore opens for registration. Ooh. If you're a Harry Potter fan, only way to get the e-books. And Sony ID theft protection had been extended to today, July 31st. So scramble if you want to sign up for that. Coming up on Wednesday, August 3rd, BlackBerry Fan Night happens in Toronto at might be our first look at BlackBerry OS 7. T-Mobile makes the HTC Wildfire S official, available for $80 on Wednesday. Wow. And finally on Wednesday, Samsung's TouchWiz UX update for the Tab 10.1 is available, but only in person if you show up at their press event in New York City. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
There you go, Tom Merritt. Thank you. TNT is on Twitter every Monday through Friday, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. That would be 21:30 UTC. At live.twit.tv.
It's a really good show. You guys should watch it.
And I think somebody named Sarah Lane might appear on that show along with Aya Zapatar. So Twitter, I didn't know this because I had been using Google+, has started injecting paid tweets into the stream. That was the thing everybody said. That will be the end of Twitter when they do it.
But it's so they're injecting tweets into the stream if you follow a brand.
Yeah. Oh, so you have to follow them.
Right.
So if I'm following,
wouldn't I see it anyway? I don't understand.
You would, but now they pin it basically to the top when you load a page for the first time, or if you reload it, you'll see it again.
Well, that's not so bad.
And then it gets pushed out.
If I don't follow JetBlue in this example, I don't see this, even if it's a paid tweet.
Right. Right.
That's nice because you're kind of opting in a way.
Right.
But then the next phase will be what probably freaked out.
Well, when they don't make any money on this. Twitter seems to be struggling. They fired a bunch of people. They brought back Jack Dorsey, even though he has a real job with Square. I don't understand how he can run two companies. But anyway.
They're really close to each other. He just walks a few blocks.
Yeah. Is it really? Yeah. You just walk down the street? Okay, this is Twitter.
That's
afternoon.
How you do it.
Square in the morning, Twitter in the afternoon. I don't know if Google Plus is going to put them out of business, but it seems like they've really been struggling to make a.
Well, they're raising yet more money. They'll be around for a long time, but they do need to figure out how to make money, and this is the most significant step forward yet to do that. You know, they keep trying these little things. They have the the promoted topics in the trending area. They have it in the search, and
the
now
problem is nobody sees that because third party apps don't show.
Well, are you even going to see these promoted tweets now if you're using?
I guess you will. If
no,
it's the
not yet.
Yeah, because I didn't notice it either.
They, it's only on Twitter.com right now.
So
they
far.
Will pump it through
come
there.
Out the official client at least.
But Twitter.com is the biggest client.
Yes,
in terms of like the share of
right
what people are. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a good way to test the theory.
I think
see how it works.
Yeah,
it seems like on the API level.
I don't know about you guys. I don't follow too many brands, but I'm sure there's a few I follow, and it's like, if I'm already following a brand to have it show up a little bit more prominently in my stream, I'm already asking to get updates.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a fine idea. It's just, is that aggressive enough for them to actually make a legitimate amount of money? You know, like,
how much would you pay for that?
I bet at least in the beginning it will be, because brands won't know any better.
They'll
be like, oh, this sounds like a really great idea. Here's $50,000 to have my tweet up there for 24 hours.
They say they're measuring engagement, though, in an interesting way, because they do more than just click-throughs. It's also the number of retweets and the number of times it's favorited, which is kind of an interesting metric.
See, I favorite stuff all the time as a bookmarking.
People use it for different reasons. Yeah.
So it's not, they shouldn't really.
But that's how they charge. They only charge the advertisers when one of those three things happens.
So. I think Twitter's also smart enough to know that if they were just to start injecting sponsored tweets into our timelines, everyone would go batshit.
Like the dick bar?
Crap. Sorry for the SH word. I myself included. So it's like if you start small and you get a certain amount of people used to seeing this kind of thing, then there's less to be up in arms about when they start popping up.
Right.
I think the funny thing on Twitter
no
is people will follow you on Twitter unless you start posting things. And then as soon as you start using Twitter, people get irate. It's happened to me.
You're
it just happened
loud.
To President Obama.
Yeah, right.
He posted because, of course, we've got this thing, the debt ceiling deadlock, which could be pretty bad. On Friday afternoon, he has 9 million followers. He told him to tweet your congressman, your Republican congressman, to promote a bipartisan solution to the deficit crisis. And then he began tweeting out the Twitter handles of Republican congressmen state by state. In one day, he lost 37,000 followers because nobody wants that. That's noise.
Hey, you, keep it down.
Shh.
Whoever you.
Hey,
you,
President.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, President, stop
Quit
it.
Quit spamming me.
It's happened to me. It's happened to me. I understand. Barack, it's okay. I'll come back. Actually, it turns out the Republicans gained many of these followers.
He helped their accounts.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? You're so annoying. I'm going to vote against the compromise.
Well, I kept reading the headlines wrong and seeing like something like Barack Obama, Twitter compromise. I was like, oh my God, did his account get hacked? I was like, oh wait, that's not what that means at all.
Didn't that already happen once?
What?
I don't know.
Yes, he did. Yes, he got hacked.
Like years ago.
Yes, he did, right. In the campaign
he's one
stuff,
of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that whole thing was kind of silly, though. Like 37,000. Okay.
It's not a lot.
That's like
margin.
You can lose that on just any given day when Twitter shuts down spam accounts. That's like a third of a percent. I just did the math on that. It's a very, I don't know. I would expect to lose more than that if I were doing something like that.
You
on
would
on my Twitter account.
You would, and you don't have 9 million followers.
Exactly.
You have 8 million. Lady Gaga has 12 million.
Yeah.
12 million.
Maybe he should hire her to do that.
You know who's going to gain a lot of followers? Lady Big Mac. Watch this.
Now, I'm going to assume by now you're all familiar with Twitter, the social networking site that has become an increasingly popular outlet for news about Justin Bieber and popular revolutions. Did you also know it's a great newsroom feedback delivery system?
We've been asking you all morning what your favorite fast food guilty pleasure is.
Well, Lady Big Mac on Twitter, Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Wait, what? Five Guys is Lady Big Mac's favorite burger place? Isn't that like the Quaker Oats guy doing an ad campaign for Farina?
It's good.
Yeah, it's fine. They got 24 hours to fill. They're just having a little bit of fun. At least the level of Twitter questions is at the preferred choice in chopped meat sandwich chain level.
We want to know if a politician's private transgressions matter to their public life.
Lady Big Mac on Twitter.
She's back!
Decision by the president not to go public with the Bin Laden death photos. We want to know what you think about the president's decision.
Lady Big Mac wrote us on Twitter, the president is right. We do not need to see...
So who is Lady Big Mac?
Again with Lady Big Mac?
All right. I don't want to play anymore.
You got to pull up her profile. I actually, I saw this the other night when I was watching The Daily Show. And
yeah.
I went and pulled up the profile. It's pretty funny. It's like, she's like a grandmother or something.
No, she doesn't look that old.
That's pretty funny. Wait a minute. All right. Let me get my.
That picture looks like it's from the 70s, so maybe.
No, I mean, her about thing, I think, says she is a grandma. I think she calls that out.
Well, good for her. She's using the social networking.
Yeah, wife, mother, grandma.
She's all over the news.
And to be fair, I had Five Guys for the first time last week. It was awesome.
You had Five Guys last week?
It was awesome.
Oh, the burgers.
Leo.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I picked up on that.
Yeah, we play Ride and Dirty.
All I heard was I had Five Guys last week.
They don't want those kinds of jokes.
Not everybody in outside of California knows that Five Guys is a burgers place.
It is.
And a very good one.
And I had never had that brand of burgers before.
I have not even heard of it.
It's funny that you would defend Lady Big Mac by saying, well, you know, actually, Five Guys
is pretty good. Yeah.
There she is, Ruth Lady Big Mac, Lower Alabama, wife, mother, grandmother, retired bookkeeper, and political junkie. And apparently somebody who's very good at getting on the network
news. She watches a lot of news.
You got to wonder, the researchers that they must have at The Daily Show to go through all that video and find, like, five mentions of Lady Big Mac.
Right.
There was that whole clip, if you're a Daily Show
it's
very funny.
And that's our fair use defense.
How many followers did she gain?
I don't know. She doesn't have that many. She only has 2,400 followers.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I think sock puppet.
What?
I don't think
what?
She's real.
You think she's just like
I think it's like probably an account that CNN set
it's
up
Jason
so they
Calacanis.
Could like say something. That would be awesome. That would
All right,
be so awesome.
Let's do this. I want everybody watching or listening to Twit right now to follow Lady Big Mac.
Oh,
are we
doing?
Still doing these
Why not?
Experiments?
Let's just do it.
Okay.
I'm going to follow her.
Watch. Right. Follow her.
It's
did,
this
you, did you get the count before?
Yeah, 2401.
But she tweets about all sorts of stuff. I don't think she uses a CNN
Look,
account.
Follow her. Oh, what? This
she
is
She retweeted
nice.
Will Wheaton.
Yeah. Follow her today. You can unfollow her tomorrow. I just want to see how big we can get Lady Big Mac.
Ryan, I'm with you, though, that I think a lot of these people may just be internal mechanisms to get the soundbite that
I
you
think
want.
A lot. Exactly. I think you're right.
Why and not?
I want a twit pic of her looking just like that with, like, her family.
With a newspaper.
Yeah, with a newspaper.
Holding up a newspaper right. with today's
Proof
data.
Of life.
Yeah. No, actually, wouldn't that be, though, if that would be a huge scandal? I mean, it's not exactly, you know, the news of the world level scandal, but a huge scandal if you found out that CBS, ABC, and NBC were making fake Twitter accounts.
That's like the fake movie reviewers, you know, who are doing the...
But on the other hand, for some reason, maybe I'm just a cynic.
Poor Lady Big Mac, her email inbox, if she has notifications
oh,
on...
Oh, God. We did
got,
that. When we
really
did Lisa
awful.
Tickled Pink, she thought she did something wrong because she was getting thousands. I think I'm done. I don't want to. We've done everything. We played John Stewart.
You're over it.
We're done
now.
We played a little Chameleonaire. Boo has a book.
Boo the dog on
I
Facebook.
I love Boo.
I never heard of Boo.
Is that poofy?
He's
it's a Bangs versus Beard thing.
No,
look at that dog.
He is pretty.
Oh,
cute.
That's dog. Yeah, I know that dog.
My mom and I. My mom.
In case
Boo
you don't
too.
Think Boo is real, here's a video of Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
Look at his little wiggly
I think
ears.
I think he's not too bright.
I follow Boo on Facebook.
I do too, actually.
And I love the videos.
Yeah, oh, he's got a book.
Love him.
But, you know, aren't they, like, brushing his hair to make him look like a
Yes, he's getting
ball?
Groomed specifically to be cute.
To be
oh,
cute.
Chat
cute
room is now possible. Talking about Mr. Winkles, also a pretty darn cute dog.
I don't
That's
know
Boo's
Mr. Winkles.
Mr. Winkles. He was the
hey,
predecessor
Boo.
To Boo.
Wait a minute.
See what
oh, there's somebody before. Okay, we got to look at Mr. Winkles.
Yeah, Mr. Winkles.
Boo was inspired by Mr. Winkles.
Mr.
Apparently.
Winkles sure. is the OG cute dog on the internet.
I see.
Boo's, yeah, you know what? Boo's I don't know Boo. Yeah. I knew Mr. Winkles, and I thought that
if
Mr.
You,
I thought Boo was
I
Mr.
knew
Winkles.
Boo, and you are no Boo.
You, right. sir.
Me, sir.
I know Boo.
I know Boo.
Who is
Apparently,
this Boo?
Mr. Winkle is the cutest dog in the universe.
Yeah, see?
Wow,
and,
told you.
And so the world is not
amazing.
Nothing. This is the
this
ugliest
is
sight
this
in the universe.
Good.
Wait,
they
wait
should run this
it.
Through
wait.
The Google speed up.
Yeah.
He's coming on his magic saucer.
He's
coming
on his magic saucer.
Get ready
this
for
is
it.
Bizarre.
Is this like hamster dance or something? Good Lord. There's a lot of suspense. Thanks
for
waiting.
The
what, they have to generate Mr. Winkle?
He
looks
like
just
Boo.
Like Mr. Boo.
Yeah.
Wait.
He looks like Mr. Boo with a wonky dog.
How can he be the cutest dog in the universe if he looks just like the cutest dog in the world?
I'm confused now.
Why is this happening? What is this awful sight?
Why is this happening? Why?
Alien? Savants?
I think he's definitely a savant.
This is the ugliest site I have ever seen in my life.
It's actually.
You know,
it's
there's
sort of
only
wonderful
one.
At some
so
point.
What breed of dog is this? Card? Does anyone know?
What is the breed?
Pomeranian?
Is it a Pomeranian?
It's a Pomeranian, but
with his hair
a certain way. Yeah. Okay. You have
the
to,
only
like,
thing that would
them.
Make this site
this
better
cute dogs.
Is Comic Sans. Now we've got an audience. He's a Pomeranian left in the dryer too long. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our panel for making this a fabulous...
You're going to put Boo and Mr. Winkle in a dogfight?
A cage match.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That's horrible.
Somebody call Michael Vick.
Oh, he doesn't do that anymore, Leo.
I know, he's reformed.
Yes.
Too soon.
Did you see that Foxconn wants to replace... It has a million workers, and they want to replace them with robots in the next 3 years.
Yeah, but then you got to rehire them to take care of the robots.
Somebody has to maintain the robots. Who's building the robots? If you were in China right now, I'd get a degree in robot building. That's the future.
And then you have to have the security force on hand in case the robots revolt.
Yeah, and start killing themselves.
And you know what? I can't stop without mentioning this because we gave Apple such a hard time over the location database, right? Apple's iPhone was collecting information so they could build a Skyhook-like service. Same thing Google was doing. Turns out Microsoft also has been doing the same thing in the Windows Phone 7, gathering data from Wi-Fi connections,
right,
along with the GPS information to create a database so that you can use Wi-Fi instead of GPS. But this is kind of funny. Microsoft left the database open to everybody.
Oh, good.
So apparently, if you want to know where you've been or your boyfriend's been or your husband's been...
This could come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all you need is, all you need is their MAC address, and you can find out.
What's your MAC address?
Here's my question. How come Apple got so much heat when they did this? And this story's been sitting on Gizmodo for 4 days, and nobody's picked it up.
Well, I think there's some different... There's some aspects that about this are different. If I read it correctly, it was that it only works if your phone was put into Wi-Fi hotspot mode, and then I guess only if they scanned it.
Declan
McCullough
was the
database?
Guy who discovered this.
It's definitely not the same. It's not like you have a minute-by-minute, day-by-day tracking of where everyone is going. I think it's just points in time under specific circumstances. It's not good, but it could be a lot worse.
And the other issue is, who the hell's using Windows Phone 7 anyway?
A small amount of very satisfied customers.
Yeah,
we've gone full
circle. But we all really like Windows Phone
7. But we like it.
Yeah.
All right,
is that a dig at me?
What? No, we all do.
We all like it. Veronica's the greatest. She's on Techzilla. Watch it. TEKZILLA.com.
Are you Tom now with
does he do
Anglophile?
That too?
Yeah. Zed.
Yeah. Does he spell color with a U?
We have a segment on TNT called The Rumor Mill, which is spelled...
With a U?
It's
I saw that.
Ridiculous.
Is that because of Tom?
Lady Big Mac
it's
just
a Tom
tweeted.
Thing.
Lady Big Mac just tweeted. What did she say?
All you new followers, I don't know what you're expecting. I'm an angry, opinionated grandma that tweets about politics and getting involved.
I'm so happy that happened on the show. That is awesome.
Lady Big Mac, we love you.
Oh, my God.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Oh,
Ruth.
My God. Everybody follow Lady Big Mac right now. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
I got to see this. That is hysterical.
I don't see
that. That is a real thing.
Yeah, she's got 1,000 followers.
All you new followers. I don't know what's
not on the website.
I know.
It's not on the
Twitter for Mac
angry,
updates faster than the
grandma
website does.
That tweets about politics and getting involved.
That's so funny. She does have 1,000 new followers.
And now she's involved
thanks to
in our world.
You. So you have a choice. You could buy a brick or follow Lady Big Mac. You choose. Veronica, thank you for being here. It's great to have you in the
new
Brickhouse
studio. Thank you for
having me.
It looks fantastic here.
Thanks for bringing this guy up here, too, because I know you drive, right? He sits in
I do.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He drives sometimes, too. But
no,
it's,
I could just see him going along. It's so humiliating.
I'm in the back seat while you're driving.
He sticks his head out the window, his ears flap. It's great. Ryan Block from Gadget, GDGT.com. Great to have you once
thank
again.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your being here. Mr. M.G. Siegler from TechCrunch.com. Still their best writer.
Thank you.
I like the other guys, too.
They're okay.
But you're good. You're real good.
No, thank you.
He's the smartest.
How many times do you file every day? Like 10 times a day?
No, not that often.
It's
I used
to follow you.
I used to write a lot more. Now I do longer, so it's...
You know. Oh, you're doing the think pieces.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
instead of the gut immediate gut reaction piece. You're thinking, you're pondering, you're cogitating, you're collecting your facts.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but okay. Yeah.
It's great to have
the gut reactions are still on your Twitter feed.
Paris Lemon, if you want to find the gut reactions.
Right.
And, of course, Sarah Lane, who will be back tomorrow with Tech News Today. Thank you for, your day off.
The social hour in the morning, too.
Social hour at 11 a.m.
That's right.
Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. At Sarah Lane on the Twitter, SarahLane.com. You still doing SarahLane.com?
Yeah, I haven't. I was actually writing a blog post on my iPad the other day because I have never really done that, where I say, you know, the keyboard's okay for short form stuff, but what if I actually want to write something that's, I don't know, 1,000 words on my iPad?
Yeah. I haven't finished yet.
That's a lot of work. Yeah, it's quite a project.
Thank you all for watching the show. We really appreciate your being here. I hope you like the new Twit Brickhouse. Understand this is still our field test. We haven't worked out of the kinks. I know there are little issues with audio and so forth, but I do appreciate your patience, and I do thank you so much for watching. If you haven't bought a brick, go to bricks.twit.tv. You, too, can be on the wall right behind me. You'd actually be able to see the bricks through the gear here, bricks.twit.tv. That helps build the best little studio in the whole wide world. We'll see you next time on, what do I say at the end of Twit? Another Twit. I got to go to the bathroom. Is in the can. See you later, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.